chance into my life because I didn't want anybody to destroy.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA Sonny Young coming to you from Studio 3 at our Voice of America headquarters in Washington, D.C. Welcome to the Voice of America special coverage of Basketball Africa League 2022, Africa's premier men's basketball league. Coming up at 2100 GMT, UTC, the Cape Town Tigers from South Africa will play Petro de Luanda from Angola. We're going to talk about that game as well as the first two games in this Nile Conference phase of the Basketball Africa League. I'm joined on our pregame show by Prince Nesta, a man who does speak the language of hoops quite fluently. And also a special guest this evening coming from Nairobi, Kenya, Abel Ensone, team liaison manager for AS Sale of Morocco. AS Sale, of course, already through to the Basketball Africa League playoffs at the end of May in Kigali, Rwanda. Abel, thank you for joining us on the show.
Thank you, Sonny, and thank you, Nesta, for having me on the show. I'm glad to be here once more to talk about, you know, the BAL and what's coming up in the Nile Conference.
Well, Abel, we've had two games so far in Cairo, and coincidentally, both games had 17-point margin of victories. Zamalek, the defending Basketball Africa League champion, beat Cobra Sport 80-63. And in the second game of the Nile Conference, FAP from Cameroon defeated Espoir Foucache from the Democratic Republic of Congo 77-60. Let's begin with Zamalek's victory, Abel. I know they've kind of, you know, they've got a new roster for this second edition of the Basketball Africa League. What did you think of Zamalek's performance and their victory in front of home fans in Cairo?
Well, I don't think they were spectacular. They took advantage of a young Cobra team that is really new to this level of competition, because forget about the BAL. Even before the BAL, Cobra hasn't done much in normal club championships in Africa. So I think Zamalek is most of these guys' schedule. And as you know, you bring in Ike Jovi, these guys have experience. So they use that to their advantage. But I don't think they should sit comfortably, because as you've seen, and as we're going to talk about later on in the show, the second game with FEP, if Zamalek is going to play the way he played in the first game, they're going to have a hard time. But yeah, I mean, it was a good win. It was a predictable win, especially when Bushra Mokota of Kenya felt it was not going to come play for AS Cobra. It was kind of clear that Cobra was going to struggle.
FAP from Cameroon, they were victorious earlier Sunday, April, by a 17-point margin. Close game during the first half, only a one-point margin at halftime with Foucache in the lead. What went wrong for that team in the second half? I'm talking about Foucache, Abel.
Well, the hardest part about playing any team from Cameroon, even if you watched the BAL last season, is the resilience on defense. It's the fact that the work rate is going to be so high that if your team is not ready to, you know, weather the storm during the whole game, your team will crack. And that's what happened to Foucache. Because FAP doesn't have great shooting, not great scorers, but score a lot of transition points and putting ball pressure and creating turnovers for the teams. And that's what really happened to Foucache in the second half. FAP was on the road because of their defense. You know, we've seen the 23 or so many. We see this Raga number 4. Like, these guys are just grinding on defense. And that gave guys open opportunities.
Prince Nesta. Your friend Abel talking with us from Nairobi. That might bring up some pangs of homesickness, perhaps, for you.
Man, I'm telling you, I've missed ugali and nyama choma, which I'm pretty sure Abel is food that, you know, is well-loved in Kenya. And Abel, I'm pretty sure, is enjoying all that in Kenya alone. You gotta send some for me and, you know, Sunny here in the States. But, yeah, for sure, Abel is, you know, one of my friends from way back. We've known each other for quite a long time. He has had plenty of experience, you know, playing in Cameroon. He's had plenty of experience playing in Kenya Basketball League and, you know, and other parts. And plus, you know, he's worked as a scout for the Toronto Raptors. And, you know, one great analyst as far as basketball is concerned, and I'm really glad to have him with us today. And so I just wanted to ask you, Abel, looking at some of the players that have turned up for this tournament, you're seeing a big difference in regards to American players, you know, making such a significant difference vis-a-vis African players. Some of them are really trying, but, you know, we could still see, you know, for instance, the match that just ended. I'm forgetting his name, but Martins or something. But, you know, he was scoring a lot of three-point plays for FAP, and he was really playing well defensively, offensively. He was a threat. I'm also talking about Stoglin and, you know, other American players who played in the Sahara Conference. You've seen that big difference. You know, just thinking about it, Abel, what does this show as far as African standards of basketball is concerned? And what do these two players, you know, I'm talking about American and African players, have to learn from each other?
Well, that's a good statement because it's something we talk about all the time. The first and foremost thing is it is quite normal for a player from America to look much better because of the level of competition. In Africa, we don't play best basketball games. It's very difficult for any African player to achieve while being here. When you speak of African players versus Americans, I can give an example of Aruna from AS Salis. He's from New York. But because he went to play college basketball in the States, he plays at a higher level. And sometimes people might forget he's actually from Africa. So all that is needed is more games. The BAL allows players to focus and to grow themselves. And that's what was lacking so far. So it is, I'm not surprised about the Americans that come in, Stokely, all these guys, Massa from Spain. It's normal to dominate early. In the next 2 to 3 years, I believe African players are going to be the ones dominating the league because they would have understood what they needed to be. The advantage of being these American players and these foreign players is to allow the local players to immerse themselves in a certain space where they understand where their growth is and what they need to do from interacting with these players.
Abel, you are the team liaison manager for AS Saleh of Morocco, guided by Coach Liz Mills, and you have previous experience with Coach Mills with the Kenyan national men's team. As I mentioned, AS Saleh already through to the playoff round of this second season of the Basketball Africa League. Is Coach Mills actively scouting the Nile Conference games going on right now, Abel?
Absolutely, yes. Of course she's scouting. She's watching every game, taking out her notes. Coach Liz is very thorough as a coach, so she doesn't leave anything to chance. And as much as she can respect people who use chance to operate, she doesn't believe in chance. She believes in working on her details, so she's watching every game, watching everything unfold, and trying to take as much notes as she can to prepare the team for Kigali and the final tour.
Let's move to the game just coming up, Sunday, second game in Cairo. And let's begin with you, Prince. We've got a team making its debut in the Basketball Africa League, Cape Town Tigers, taking on perhaps the most experienced club in Africa, Petro de Luanda from Angola. Your thoughts on this matchup, Prince?
Yeah, it's going to be a tough matchup. I mean, if you look at Petro de Luanda's CV, goodness me, they've achieved all kinds of trophies. You know, they've been national champions, you know, since 1989 to, you know, till date. You know, I mean, they've been winning all these competitions. They're African club winners the year 2006 and 2015. They've won Angolan Cups. They've won a sort of, you know, some of the most important tournaments in regards to African basketball. You know, so they bring that historical accolades with them to this particular match. And one thing also that, you know, we should all think about is that they have pretty much maintained their team, you know, that took part in last year's competition. I mean, eight players who took part in the inaugural BAL season are still on this particular team, and so they are pretty much in familiar territory. I mean, they have added a couple of players. Korea, for instance, a Cape Verdean international, who's 6'2", and he's going to be one of the guys to watch out for his aggressive dunks, incredible dunking ability, and 6'2", is pretty a short height, but, you know, he's really aggressive as far as the defensive game is concerned. And, you know, they still have their coach. And so it's really going to be a fantastic matchup, considering the fact that also the South African champions, you know, yes, they're new to the basketball, African basketball scene, but at the same time, they've also brought in a couple of players with significant experience. I mean, I can talk of Jamel Attis, you know, who plays for them and last played for the Orlando Magic. You know, watch out for Mika Bongo, who's a DRC, you know, Canadian, at the same time has had plenty of experiences, you know, playing in the United States for the University of Texas and the NCAA tournament. You're going to watch out for Billy Preston, who's an American and, you know, has played at Kansas University. Peter Prinsloo, South African, who's played for Maris, you know, in the NCAA tournament. So they really have an impressive CV on them, especially as far as individual performances is concerned. It's really going to be a tight match, Sonny.
Prince, let's go to Nairobi again and get Abel's insights. How do you see this matchup, Abel, between the Cape Town Tigers and Petro de Luanda?
Yeah, just like I had for the first game. Having Victor has too much experience. Yannick Moreira is back. Carlos Moraes wants to have a better tournament. You know, now, like, these guys are really going to come out and look for blood. And I don't think Cape Town is ready for it. It's their first edition. So to me, I think it's a straight-up easy task for Petro because of the fact that the urgency level is higher and they know where they are.
Abel, I did have a chance before this tournament tipped off to talk a couple times with the head coach of the Cape Town Tigers, Relton Boysen. And, you know, he talked a little bit about his basketball journey to what he describes as his dream job with the Tigers. But one of the things that kind of stuck with me was he likes to meet all the new players on the team. He likes to pick them up at the airport and then drive them into Cape Town and kind of show them around the city a little bit. But I'm paraphrasing here. He said a lot of it is how you treat the player off the court in terms of how they respond on the court. What's your reaction to his comments?
Well, you know, it's fine in his position because of the fact that, first of all, he's protected his team in regards to how he sees the game and how everything is supposed to be approached. But, again, I'll repeat, Petro and most of these teams are more advanced. In this competition, if you watch anything in the first round in the Sahara conference, experience of your players matters. The teams that survive, like in the Sahara conference, are teams that have players that played the BAL last season. So when you come into this season, it's the same thing. When you look at teams, Cape Town, they're at the bottom based on the experience and who they have, And we always have an expression here. It's so important for a coach and his team to understand African basketball. African basketball is totally different from any other basketball you can play. If you don't have an understanding of this, you usually find yourself in trouble when it comes to games and officiating and how your players cooperate with what is thrown at them. So yeah, I respect what you're saying, but I'm, like I said, I would rather be wrong, but I don't see it. I still think the advantage goes to teams like Petro because of the experience that we have.
Abel, in terms of experience, I want to give a shout out for a player on Petro de Luanda. I'm checking their roster now. He celebrated his 40th birthday yesterday, as a matter of fact. Olimpio Cipriano. he's been around for a long time at shooting guard for Petro de Luanda. And we're going to see him. I'm sure we're going to see him in this game against the Cape Town Tigers. You know, what kind of impact does a player like Cipriano have on this Petro de Luanda team, Abel?
Well, Cipriano is an amazing player, African legend. I think he started playing for Angola, he was around 17 something. Always been there. Even the last BL, he showed what he can do. So I believe his presence is immense for the team because he helps the younger players stay calm, and he always comes out there and has key moments in crunch time. So that is a great addition for the coach to have such a depth on his bench. And he's still capable of playing on this level. So shout out to him. Olympia Zoid is he's a legend. If we had a Hall of Fame in Africa, he's definitely the first battle Hall of Famer in regards to African basketball.
Prince Nesta, would you happen to have a question or two for Abel in Nairobi?
Yeah, absolutely. And I totally agree with Abel's sentiment. You know, Olimpio Cipriano is one of the most decorated basketball players in Angolan history and even African history. I mean, he's won 5 FIBA African Clubs Champions Cup titles. At the same time, he's represented Angola national basketball team on several international tournaments and has won 4 gold AfroBasket medals for his country. You know, he's also had plenty of American experience. I mean, he turned up for the Detroit Pistons' Summer League team, you know, during the 2007 and 2008 NBA season. And so he has plenty of experiences internationally, you know, in Angola, at the same time here in the United States. So kudos to him and happy belated birthday. Can't wait to see him on the court. And, of course, I also wanted to ask Abel, and, you know, in one of my few interviews that I did with Abel a little bit earlier during the Sahara Conference, I talked of the impact, especially the, you know, some of these fans have on their respective teams. We saw a low turnout in Senegal, and, you know, that was attributed to the distance as far as the stadium is concerned. I mean, it's way out of town. And I just watched the other match, you know, between Fukash and FAP. There's quite a low turnout, which is a little bit demoralizing. What are your thoughts on this, Abel, as far as turnout is concerned? I mean, the first game, since it was an Egyptian team playing at home, we saw quite some turnout. But then again, since it's like a team that is not from Egypt, we saw, like, you know, the stadium was close to empty. What are your thoughts on this one?
Well, what everybody must understand is that the BAL is only helping the game grow in Africa in regards to knowing players. Before the BAL, I can promise you, a lot of people, 98% of people, didn't know any player beyond their own territory. And right now we're discovering players. So, of course, there's not going to be a lot of fans because people have not yet grown to appreciate players on different squads. They're getting to know them. When you reach year 3, 4, 5, and people start getting attachment and liking particular players, then you're going to have more spectators in the stadium. Remember, people go to stadiums mostly to watch players than to watch teams particularly. So if I don't know who's playing, I don't have any interest being in the stadium. So, of course, the DR is going to look like it's not doing well. But it's not the truth. It's just that as Africans, we only know our local players. We don't know anybody else beyond our league. If you come to Kenya, nobody knows players beyond the league. If you go to Uganda, it's the same thing. If you go to Cameroon, it's the same thing. So it becomes a bias when it comes to trying to appreciate the game holistically. And when it comes to clubs, people are not yet used to that. If it was just nations, then people can show up sometimes in the stadium because there's some level of patriotism. But when it comes to clubs, it's not a full-blown commitment towards being patriotic when it comes to who's playing.
Abel Ensone is the team liaison manager for AS Saleh of Morocco. Also joining us on this special Voice of America Basketball Africa League pregame show is Prince Nesta. I'm Sonny Young. Coming up at the top of the hour, the Cape Town Tigers will play Petro de Luanda. And please keep it locked on your Voice of America frequency because we will be bringing you that game. So stick around for the Cairo action. And let's go back to Nairobi now. Abel, on an earlier show, Prince Nesta and I and Mukbil Yabaro, we kind of debated, friendly debate, about one of the Cameroonian stars in the NBA making a very strong bid for most valuable player this season, Joel Embiid of the Philadelphia 76ers. On Saturday night, he had 41 points, 20 rebounds, 4 assists, becoming the first NBA player this season to score 40 or more points and grab 20 or more rebounds in a game. Kind of putting you on the spot, Abel, is Joel Embiid your pick for NBA Most Valuable Player this 2022 season?
Well, to me, it is Joel Embiid, hands down, because of one single thing. MVP is usually about improvement in whatever you've done during the previous season, right? And according to the stats, Joel Embiid has elevated everything about his game. Nikola Jokic is basically equal to himself. Dallas, Denver is pretty okay. Antetokounmpo, nothing special. He has a great run when Drew Holiday plays and Chris Middleton. In their absence, the team is lackluster. You know, but Joel Embiid, he's about to be the, actually, he's officially the first big man since I don't know how long to be the top scorer in the league. And he had his win before the presence of James Harden. It's not Harden that has created the win. He did well without Ben Simmons. So the same criteria everybody used to give Jokic the MVP when Jamal Murray was injured is the same they should use to give Joel Embiid when Ben Simmons is absent. You see what I'm saying? Because right now, he played most of the season without any of the star players. He got Tobias Harris, he got Vince Tybalt. There's nothing great that he's working with. And he managed to carry the team. And his stats are weak. He's in closing games. Look at his last games, 41 points and 20 rebounds, etc. I believe he's supposed to be the MVP. I know he's not going to be a big marketing tool. Africa is not a huge market, so nobody really cares. But the truth is he should be. And this is an unbiased opinion.
Well, no argument here, Abel. He's my pick also for MVP. But let's get back to the court in Cairo there, Abel. In the first game on Sunday, there was a female referee from Mexico, Hortensia Sanchez Carrizales, officiating. And on Saturday, the opening day of the Nile Conference, a referee from Botswana, Dorothy Okatch. And I think they really kind of fit the this vision of Amadou Gallo Fall, the BAL president, for gender equity. What are your thoughts on seeing these female referees on the court in Cairo?
I think it's all good because of the sense of the reasoning behind everything is this. You can only grow people by exposing people, right? And if the BAL is about growth, like even the athletes themselves, like we stated earlier in the show, the African athletes themselves are not the best in the tournament. Like, if we still talk about the best players, apart from countries like Angola and maybe Tunisia, most of the teams rely on non-Africans. It's the same for the referees. So I'm happy we integrated some of the ladies. We may miss some calls and not get some stuff right. But the good part at this level is that the BAL did a good job of bringing in G League referees who help because they are actually the lead refs in every game. And after every game, they're reviewed. So I believe these ladies are going to grow in their ability to officiate games at this level through this competition and all the feedback that we see. So I'm positively, I'm happy about what direction we're taking in regards to the technical part. Bringing female referees is amazing in regards to that level of equity as you're talking about, you know, trying to balance stuff because if men can be in women's leagues, it means women can be in men's leagues. We've got to take things on the same level. So I'm positive it's going to come out well. I don't think so far it's perfect. I think sometimes they're still overwhelmed and scared of where they are, scared of all those big fellows on the court getting up and down and contesting calls. But I think with time, everybody's going to get accustomed to it.
Prince Nesta, we've got a little less than 3 minutes left in the show. Maybe one final question for Abel.
Yes, Abel, we saw Rwanda Energy Group, you know, debutants in this competition, actually managed to top the group in the Sahara Conference. Possibly, I'm thinking of Cape Town Tigers. If they were to pull an upset in this particular match, what would they have to do to contain the Petro team?
Well, look, you're talking about Reg. Reg has a former NBA player as a coach who is an assistant coach in the NBA for the last around 10, 12 years. It's his experience that helped them overcome. And he took his assignment to heart and actually studied his opponents and what he needed to do. If Cape Town's coach does the same and is confident that everything's going to be okay. In regards to what you have to do directly, if I was sitting on that bench with him, as you asked me earlier, well, Petro is basically the same thing. You have to contain Yannick Moreira. You have to contain our boy, Carlos Moraes. If you can contain those two, and you can still have great players in the roster, but at least, I think on Clavis is amazing, and you can't disturb you. But if you contain those two players, you can use the efficiency. Everybody knows Angolan teams are about pressure. Ball pressure, transition basketball, and ball movement. So you have to distort that, right? Slow down the game. Put pressure on them. Go to a full court press. Slow down the basketball game. Make sure they got to play set often. Don't overhelp because they're always looking to drive and kick. You know, contest the three because Angolan teams have to score at least 13 to 16 threes in a game. Like just little things like that that you have to pay attention to. So all that you need to do is restore this and put the team's energy.
Abel Ensoun, Team Liaison Manager for AS Saleh of Morocco. Abel, thank you for joining us on our pregame show. Thanks.
You're welcome and thanks. I'll always be available.
Thank you. Thank you, Abel. And thanks also to Prince Nesta. Prince and I will be back at halftime and postgame of this upcoming Cape Town versus Petro de Luanda matchup in Cairo. Thanks to my producer downtown, Daniel Brown, as well as Charleston, my engineer this evening. I'm Sonny Young. Keep it locked on the Voice of America for Basketball Africa League 2022.
Good evening to you. Oh, are we happy to be here? Dr. Hassan Mustafa Sports Hall in Cairo, Egypt is the place. It's the final game of day two. Cape Town, South Africa. Cape Town Tigers who come up against Petro de Luanda. Of course, we have all of these wonderful teams that are representing 12 different countries right across this incredible continent. It is the Basketball Africa League. It is season two. It is the final showdown between the last two teams that we haven't seen so far in this competition, the Nile Conference. We had the Safar Hazara, now we're in Egypt for the Nile Conference. I'm here with my man Q. Q, how's it going? A South African team and an Angolan team, some big teams and countries that you know extremely well.
I do know them extremely well. Thank you, Rob, and I'm really looking forward to this one. It's the debut of the South African team, Cape Town Tigers, and they're coming up against a very experienced unit in, and one of the best in Africa, in Petro de Luanda.
And we have Usher who's with us as well. Usher, how are you feeling this? Great atmosphere here in this wonderful hall.
It is a beautiful day, obviously, and to see a Southern African derby. It is Petro de Luanda, obviously, from Angola. Always had a bit of history there with the South African team, but also good to see the Cape Town Tigers from down south playing at the BAL. It is a big stage, and they're ready.
The starting fives, thank you, Asher, of Cape Town, first of all. Well, we saw, we'll go back to Petro just afterwards.
Kanapamo, Kabongo, Mofokeng, Sibanyoni, and Peter Prinsloo. Looking a little bit different from what they expected, but Mofokeng and Sibanyoni coming back in to the starting five.
And Jose Nieto, the Brazilian, at the helm of course, Petro de Luanda in last season's BAL, where they got all the way to the semi-finals, looking to try and replicate what they performed and what they did. And when you look at the starting five that they have, you basically think there's only one player who wasn't in this team last season, and he is that man, Aboubakar Gakou.
And the rest is tried and tested, and you won't see them experiment too much with their starting lineup as they go Dundao, Moraes, Gonçalves, Gaku, and Pedro. And that's head coach Raf Edwards, and in picture right there. He's been in charge of the Cape Town Tigers since their inception, since they're a newly established team in South Africa.
Cape Town Tigers missing two players, Jamal Artis and Billy Preston, entered the BAL health and safety protocols, will miss tonight's game against Petro de Luanda. But getting back on court now, we're only 50 seconds away. We've got a high-octane encounter here between two teams that come from two of the southern countries in Africa, of course. We've seen a lot of teams from North Africa, West Africa. Now we get a little taste of what we can expect down in the south.
Yeah, this is a Zone 6 rivalry. They come from one of the seven African zones that exist in FIBA. And this is the southernmost region. They teams that will know each other. They've probably played each other in different guises, but these two clubs have never met on a basketball court.
And Usher's going to tell us about the officials tonight.
Yes, real quick, the crew chief is Paul Toomey from the USA. He brings NBA G League experience here. Then there's Babacar Gaye from Senegal, a.k.a. Mr. President, and Jean Savo Ruhamiriza from Rwanda.
You've got it all. Thank you very much, Usher. We're ready for tip-off. We're ready for this third battle in the Nile Conference. We'll get a look at these two teams and just get an interpretation, understanding of how they are going to play. Here we go then. Of course, we have Petro de Luanda playing in the yellow up against Cape Town, who are playing in white. Let's get this show on the road. Let's find out exactly what these guys are up to tonight. And here we are with Petro. Very aggressive charge down the left side. And the first points scored by Jason Gonçalves. Wonderful player, an MVP player in the Angolan League back in 2019. Q, player, you know quite well.
He is an outstanding player. We got to see him come alive last year in the Basketball Africa League, and someone that we definitely need to keep our eyes on.
That's a very nice score. The hook shot over the top there, scored by that man, Peter Prince, though, at 2m08, one of the bigger players in the Cape Town team.
Not really known for his ability to put the ball on the floor, but he sure can score the basketball and is a primary offensive threat for the Tigers.
Defensive rebound taken well there by that man, Evans Ganapamo. And, well, it was nearly a steal and a little bit of a skullduggery there, but committed by Petro de Luanda.
Dindao almost gets a hand on it. And got to be aware of the passes that go across court. Now, first touch for Kabongo.
Really interesting matchup this one, isn't it? Kabongo up against Dundao. Two very, very energetic and lively playmakers, of course. As a good little steal there and a chance to try and get the first points. Cape Town, unfortunately, unable to drop the two. But look at this. This is the way to take the ball. And Kabongo gets the points here and matches them with a fine score.
Playing some great defense in the right place at the right time. Kabongo opens his account in the 2022 Basketball Africa League.
4-2. 4-2, the scores at the doors at the moment. Ball comes out. Good chance for them to try and get into the paint. Using the strength to charge through, but unable to finally drain the points for Gaku there. Great work, and again, just couldn't manage to drain the points on that occasion there from Sibanyoni.
Well, first touch for Sibanyoni, guided away by Pedro, and it was good defensive possession as far as Pedro were concerned.
So Zanieto very active on the court side. That's a really good offensive rebound. And Prinsloo going up for three. His shot just coming off. Defensive rebound by Johnny Pedro. When he's on fire, he's at it. A real menace to every defense possible, Johnny Pedro. Watch out for him.
Was definitely a standout player for Petro last year.
That's the way to do it. Abubakar Gaku, the 24-year-old, getting a first big shot from out wide.
2021 and Golden League MVP, and that's the reason he probably gets the start, Robbie.
Oh, it makes complete and utter sense, of course, you know, and a player who's come into this team. He wasn't on the roster in last year's BAL, of course, as Kabonga gets the ball out, and there's a good shot, and it's a fine effort indeed. The 3 points from Ganapamo, a beautiful score there. Been a bit of time in Paris as well, the city of love. Here he is showing some love with his teammates here in Cairo.
He's been looking for his shot and found one from the short corner.
Kabongo, keeping the ball away from Dundao. It's going to be one of his main missions tonight. It's going to be an electrifying matchup. There's a shot that's, well, a rebound, but I think that might be an defensive foul. In fact, you can see that it was, in fact, Gonsalves who's going to pick up the foul.
Well, good sign. That's the second offensive rebound that Sibanyoni's been rewarded with because of his activity on the offensive glass. And here's the long-range bomb that comes in from Petro. And what they can do, so can Ganapamo from the short corner for three.
Smooth as you like. Prinsloo getting the ball back out. And here they are looking to try and find a little bit of space. And there's an attempt to try and get up. And again, the rebound. Another chance. Three rebounds. And he draws the foul. This is really good work on the rebound department there from Nkosinati Sibanyoni.
Yeah, Nkosinati Sibanyoni right there again, being rewarded for his activity. Misses the close range point blank shot, but does draw the foul. Johnny Pedro coming in from behind.
And two team fouls there for Pedro already. They're showing their intent, they're underlining their intentions. Cape Town, giving a little bit of a growl coming from the Tigers, which is good to see.
Yeah, and I mean, it must be tough having two players go into health and safety protocols. You lose two starters, they've had to redesign their whole starting lineup. And so far, it's been a good start for the team from down south in Cape Town.
Svenioni. And the rebound dealt with by Gaku. Here is Gonsalves around the outside. And Dao goes for three. It's a big shot. Oh, it just rattles her in.
and comes back out. And again, good defensive play just to make that ball safe at the back. Playing some good basketball, isn't he, Sibanioni?
Has been everywhere on the glass, Sibanioni.
That is really well played, isn't it, from Mike Kabongo. Beautifully done, sucked in the defenders, made the pass, the score's been made.
He goes ahead and rewards himself with two, getting into space. Kabongo recognizes it and gets Sibanioni his first score.
That's a five-point lead for Cape Town, and it's a very bright start. Going for the shots from the outside. Oh, it's a beautiful bucket, isn't it? Look at that, the triple coming in. Beautiful shot from Carlos Moraes, known for his beautiful three-point shooting.
He's come in and has already had an impact from the outside. Experienced veteran Carlos Moraes.
Kabongo getting rid of his defense. No, look at that. Yeah, there was the big smile on his face. He absolutely loves it. That is sumptuous, sumptuous stuff. And a beautiful score there coming from that man, Sibanioni, once again. They work hand in hand, those two.
There's a reason that Kabongo was the assist leader in the 2021 season. And talking about reasons, that Carlos Moraes just laces one from the baseline.
Moraes with another fine long-distance shot there, and 12 points to 10, and all of a sudden Petra, they get two big shots, and they're back in it. This is going to be interesting. Two different styles of attack in the first quarter. Long-range shooting coming in from Petra. Here's Dundao from out wide, made safe by Kabongo. 4:20 left in the first quarter, and a frenetic start to this battle here in Cairo. Kabongo, look what he does. That is beautiful, but he couldn't drain the two. He's getting back up onto his feet. Of course, Dundao gets the ball out wide. And Petro, once again, get rid of your man. Give yourself a bit of time, drop it in. And look at that, this is ridiculous. The scoring there from that man, Moraes. I think he's on 11 points, isn't he?
I think it's up to 8 right there.
Sorry, 8, that's, yeah. The first, I'm ahead of myself already. He will be soon.
First two threes.
Are you leaving in the future?
Second one coming from the field.
Come on, go. There he is, just dropping it in for Prinsloo. Prinsloo tries to go up using that big body of his. And that's a good score as well. That's what he'll be useful at today. Not just... Well, he's... Moraes is the man. Good work. Dundao. Oh, that's a beautiful three-pointer. The triple, and he likes it a lot. That does. They move ahead.
They move the ball beautifully on the perimeter for the wide-open three, and it gets knocked down.
Look at that. The hand went up for Kabongo. He might. It's going against him. And Dundao so quick to get in there, wasn't he?
You have a look, and he gets a hand on it, and yes, there's a little push-off from Kabongo trying to protect the basketball. And that foul will bring us a timeout, Robbie.
I think everybody needs a break after that. What a frenetic start. Cape Town 14, Petro de Luanda 16. Time for a little break.
I'm VOA's Sonny Young. You're listening to special Voice of America coverage of Basketball Africa League 2022. I'm joined by Prince Nesta. Right now we have about 3 minutes left in the first quarter. Hard-fought, scrappy game. Petro de Luanda up by 2 points over the Cape Town Tigers, 16-14. Prince, this has the makings of a really, really entertaining contest.
Yeah, absolutely. Some sumptuous, impeccable, and incredible stuff, honestly, on display for us to see. Two continental giants, and, you know, we can see that on the court. They are really playing aggressively, really great, energetic teams. I could say right now some individual brilliance is really helping the teams. I can see Consinati, Sibanioni has 5 points on the side of the Cape Town Tigers. Carlos, you know.
Moraes,
yes. Great player, 3-point plays, and he's really playing well. He has 8 points. So I can say they're fairly balanced, but let's wait and see how it goes.
And Prince, we should point out the Tigers missing a couple of their regular players, including Billy Preston. They have been placed in COVID protocols, so they are not at full strength for this game.
Yeah, they're not at full strength, but Mika Bongo, a real Canadian-American, a Canadian basketball player, I told you to watch out for DRC Canadian basketball player, really coming up big on this one. And, you know, if he can continue doing that with Peter Prinsloo, you know, the tall center, number 41. Oh, wow, what a matchup.
Well, they're back on the court in Cairo, so let's go to the Egyptian capital.
Crash it down, make it yours. It is in your pocket now. Set it up, smash it in. We're going to go to Asha. Asha, what did you pick up?
Yes, both coaches are insisting on swinging that ball. Do not be selfish. Pass, pass, pass until you have an open shot and take it.
Pretty, you know, open shots, take it.
Sounds simple enough.
Go for it. Absolutely go for it. It's one of those games where it's really open and it's very fast and furious. And I think that opportunities that come up, you got to go for it. You got a little second, you got a little bit of space. Try your hand at the magical downtown. Let's boom, smash it down and get those big points on the scoreboard as they are. Joe and racing up and trying to deal with that. You can see what it, you know, how feisty he is tonight. Mike Kabongo really putting himself on the court tonight. Throwing it out.
There's also a new set of four players on the court.
They switched the matchup up, and they've got Justin Dominguez back onto Kabongo, so they're going to keep moving that trying to switch the matchups on Kabongo, who's going to be the primary ball handler.
Well, there's Liam Reed at 2 meters 06, so he's what, 6'7", I think. Big guy, and this is a good steal. Excellent opportunity. The layup for two is good. And Ben Myberg showing us what he's capable of doing, the former player from University of Stellenbosch, doing the business there, Q.
Yes, right place, right time again. Myberg picking up a steal earlier, and then this time scoring on the transition bucket.
I think that's a foul by Reed, I believe. He's kind of disarming that man, Yannick Moreira, preventing him from rising up and getting himself that chance to drop at the two-in.
Well, both coaches are actually going to quite a few changes. We've seen Ganapamo, Kabongo, and Prinsloo still on the floor for Cape Town, and Moreira coming in, seeing what he can do inside the paint. Cipriano back in as well, or in for his first minutes, rather.
Very fast and furious start to this battle, which is very exciting. It's a perfect way to finish off day two. Of course, having seen FAP of Cameroon win their opening battle. And it was an interesting one against Espoir Foucache of the Democratic Republic of Congo.
I mean, we've seen the tale of two halves, and we saw what happened when FAP turned up the defensive intensity. And you can see how important it is to stay locked in for 40 minutes. So far, so good as far as Cape Town and Petro are concerned. It's been a frenetic but very competitive start.
Good shots from the free throw line coming in from Moreira. Of course, Petro Luanda, a very successful team. 12 national titles as Reed goes on a little bit of a twist and a turn. And he draws the foul. That's really good play, isn't it? Use that big body, trying to cut between the two defenders. Draws the foul.
He puts the ball on the floor, pirouettes in between the two defenders, and it's good work there by Reed, spinning in, and he gets fouled by Moraes, and it'll be Cape Town Tigers basketball.
Absolutely, here we go with Reed, and just focusing on the game, which is really important for Kabongo to keep themselves in it, and the ball comes out. He's pretty slow. Going into the traffic, he's not afraid of attacking that Petro defense, but they're unable to get the score, and there's a chance for Petro to get themselves back into this. They got a two-point lead as it stands, and there he is. Oh, he goes round the back, but he can't get the points. Kabongo picks up the pieces. Moreira failing.
Everything right, but the finish for Moreira on that one. But in between three defenders, couldn't get the finish.
Well, Kabongo's. He's just at it again, isn't he?
He almost looks sometimes like he's enjoying the game just a little bit too much, even in any context, and there's nothing wrong with that, but Kabongo is locked in for sure.
Carlos Moraes getting a little rest as we see Anderson Correa coming on.
And he uses the head fake and then draws the foul just before he gets into the continuation on that one.
Ben Myberg, oh, that's a big charge coming in. He's making himself known already, Leonel Paolo, with that hit coming in on the big man, Prinsloo.
And that is five team fouls for Petro de Luanda. A bit worrying for Jose Neto there, the coach.
Yeah, we've got 1:26 left on the clock, but it does obviously mean that we'll go straight up for to the free throw line, Asha. And obviously that would be a bit of a concern. Got to remain disciplined. You know, he's a very tactical and a very stringent coach. We saw him last year. We've seen him and what he's done in the past. You know, with Flamengo, with the Brazilian team, the young different age groups are coming up. Having him come in to do this again, but go a little step further, is obviously going to be very important for him. So he'll make sure that he wants those players to produce the goods. Discipline is important.
So here's one of the difficult things, is that scouting the Tigers and scouting some of the teams becomes almost impossible because you haven't seen any of these players anywhere. And I think that's also a factor, and Cape Town can benefit from having players that are relatively not so well seen or well known on the international scene.
Yeah, and like the likes of Liam Regis doing that and sort of, you know, getting underneath the skin of Yannick Moreira and forcing him to lose possession basically gives them a chance to sort of come back into this and get themselves ahead once again. They're not unfazed here tonight, which is fantastic to see, but you can't lose the ball like that. Great opportunity, little bit of hesitation. Oh, the rebound, not good enough, but the first shot wasn't good enough either.
That was a great contest there by Peter Prince. And second turnover there by Nkosinati Fesile, who's just come in. Score still tied at 18. There's still 60 seconds left in the first.
So much basketball to be played. Still to come. It's a great little battle taking place here, isn't it? There's Rafael Edwards, who's the skills and development coach. One of many jobs that he has in Cape Town, right?
Definitely Desso and Cipriano wide open.
That is poetry in motion, isn't it? We're big fans of the big three-pointers. There's a little bit of a celebration there coming in from that man, Johnny Pedro, who knows a little bit about those kind of shots as well. Oh, it's beautifully done. Look at that. Getting in the way. And there he is. I thought that Cipriano was going to get himself a big score out of that, but the foul's been drawn, and of course he'll go to the free throw line.
Yeah, then Leonardo Paolo just attacking again. Peter Prinsloo is a recognized rim protector, using his body well to draw the foul out. And that man, Olympia Cipriano, just coming in composed and calm and hit his first attempt from the outside. Left wide open. Can't give him that much time and space. If he can see it, he can probably knock it down.
Yeah, he definitely has a bit of experience in that department, of course. 39 years of age, Olympio Cipriano. You don't even want to look at what he's actually achieved over time. I mean, it's just ridiculous. 5 FIBA African Championship Cup titles amongst so many other trophies. His trophy cabinet is like sort of bigger than like sort of, you know, my house twice over.
Extensive basketball CV he has.
Listen, they're going bit of skullduggery taking place for Petro Luanda, taking the ball, getting hold of it, and they're making it really complicated now. Some big scores coming in because they're poaching and they're hot to trot, aren't they, Petro?
Well, the press came from Petro. They put a lot of pressure on the Tigers, and 3 turnovers is enough to force a timeout here with just 20 seconds left in the first.
You've got to regroup. We've got a 5-point lead, of course, and you know, it just basically means that you've got to sort yourself out. Why has that happened? You know, why are you making mistakes like that? Gather around, guys. Let's like talk about it, because something's not working. You've got to be a little bit more alert when you've got your hands on the ball and make yourself available to take that pass in space.
Yannick Moreira fired up, but it's been an interesting performance. Carlos Moraes, with his 8 points, leads the scoring for Petro, came in and perfect from the field. It was Nkosinati Sibanyoni's 5 points as well as his 5 rebounds to start out that kept Cape Town Tigers in. Peter Prinsloo leads scoring with his 6. And just this last passage of play, taking the game away from the Tigers, they've got to try and consolidate and see if they can score this final possession, as the ball is theirs with 20 seconds to go.
18-23. That's where we're at the moment. And of course, Petro and Luanda, we know they'll be very committed to go even further than they did last season. But of course, they've got to get out of the Nile Conference first. We've got Zamalek in this group. We've got FAP of Cameroon. We've also got BC Espoir Foucault. There's a lot of good basketball coming up over the next 10 days.
And you've got Cobra Sport. You can't forget.
Oh, my word. Come on. How can I the South Sudan Giants of Cobra Sports. Last few seconds and a chance. Reed doesn't take the pass, and of course they pick the ball up. Petra Luanda going for a long range shot, and it comes off the glass. Comes for nothing. 18 points for Cape Town and 23 for Petra de Luanda. That is your first quarter scoreline here in Cairo for this final clash on day two. And you can see the Jose Hilton just out.
I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington. You're listening to special Voice of America coverage of Basketball Africa League 2022. Games taking place in Cairo, Egypt. Right now, after one quarter of action, Petro de Luanda of Angola, 5-point lead over the Cape Town Tigers, 23-18. Joining me now for some hoops analysis is the man who speaks hoops fluently, Prince Nesta. Hello again, Prince.
Hello to you too, Sonny. Thank you so much for that. Yeah, incredible stuff. The team, two teams look to be, you know, evenly matched, pretty much. You know, there's lots of professionalism in this game, which is something that is so positive. You know, there are low turnover rates, and so that's something great. But, you know, one thing that I'm seeing on both sides, some of they're missing point-blank shooting. If, you know, the Cape Town Tigers could actually convert some of those, you know, shots that they are missing, because they're up against a team that know each other very well. I mean, you've seen the experience of Olympia Cipriano and the way he seems like he's gelling so well with these folks. I mean, they've played together for such a long time, both for club and country. And so that's, they're up against that. They should convert any shots that they get.
Taking a quick look at the first quarter stats, Carlos Moraes, the veteran for Petro de Luanda, he has a game-high 8 points. And Peter Prinsloo of the Tigers, he has 6 points. So they lead all scores. And Prinsloo doing some good things underneath the basket, Prince.
Absolutely. Peter Prinsloo, you know, the American, playing fantastic basketball. And, you know, that's expected of him because he's got the size, he's got the height. And, you know, so he's not American. He's actually South African, born in Pretoria. And, you know, he has the height. And, you know, he should be great defensively as well as offensively.
Well, they've broken the huddle in Cairo, Prince, and they're walking back out on the court. So let's go to Cairo in the second quarter of action between Cape Town and Petro de Luanda.
Really big, long-distance shots that have pulled them back and taken them ahead.
Yeah, and turnover is the story, I think, of the first quarter. The substitutions, bringing in an inexperienced guard in the final minute when the game was tied, shifted the momentum towards Petro, and here we are in the second quarter.
Kabonga up against Bendao. And a little bit of frustration there. You can see that battle. It's an interesting one, Q.
Yeah, it's definitely the prime premier battle, because Mike Kabongo is the primary ball handler. He's looking to call a timeout because the five-second violation is called. But in FIBA rules, you can't call a timeout, not as a player. And so he causes the first turnover of the second quarter.
It's interesting because Coach Jose Noto just talked about that zone defense and only pressure on the ball handler, that is Mike Kabongo, and they've executed. Let's see what they can do on offense.
Well, they get the ball out wide and they drop in like that. That is fantastic. He does it in a big way. That's a great score. That is from Cipriano.
3-point number four for Petro de Luanda. Second one for Cipriano.
Need to hit back. Ganapamo, the man, the 27-year-old American, gets the ball back into the hands of Mofokeng. Out wide, picked up by Kabongo. Kabongo waits for assistance. Doesn't get it. Gets the ball out wide. There's the shot off the rim, and good defensive rebound.
Nice wide open shot for Sibagnoni. Just doesn't fall. And now transition opportunity.
Crikey, this is ridiculous. This time it's Gelson Domingos, the man who drops in for three.
Opening up a gap with their three-point shooting. Petro making it rain from the outside.
Bongo, Prinsloo. Prinsloo going through. Has the ball taken out of his hands, or he just unable to carry it through? We're attacking the paint, but forgetting about the ball. This is it from out wide. You can just see just what they're capable of doing, of course, finding a little bit of space. Really need to close down those players and do a little bit of what Petro are doing to them.
Dominguez and Cipriano, long-range assassins, and can't leave them open. It's Dominguez again.
Big shot taken well by Brinslow, falls into his lap, into the basket, if you like. There's a good chance. There's a lovely little floater over the top. Beautifully done there by Mofo Keng, former Egoli Magic man.
He just paralyzes defender, freezes him with the ball fake, and then floats one up and in.
Really good perseverance there, and he was so close to getting himself the ball there. Brinslow just committing the foul with the second attempt, trying to swat.
He's active on the defensive end, getting tangled up, and he'll get called for the foul. And that's going to be his second. He's got to keep an eye on that, Peter Prinsler. The big man, the paint protector, is going to be valuable for the Tigers in the center of that paint.
He's a top scorer with Cape Town so far with his 6 points. With a chance here for Anderson Correa to find a bucket or two.
He is there.
He's their golden boy at the moment, isn't he?
Yeah, coming in from the Cape Verde, Anderson Correa spent some time with the Cabo Verde national team in the Afro 2021 campaign.
He picks up the offensive rebound and just kind of doesn't drop, does it? It's really complicated now, as they really need to get those points. Now look at that, he's getting so much credit at the end of the day. Look at Cabonga, he comes back and defends valiantly. That is absolutely fantastic play.
You spoke about the battle that's happening, and that's a result of that. This time, Cabonga puts his body on the line, gets in the way of Dominguez, and draws the offensive foul.
And it means the world to him as well, because he knows that he's got to put in not just a good offensive game, he's also got to orchestrate, but he also has to defend valiantly as well, like a tiger.
Couldn't have said it any better, Rob.
All comes out is Reed, who's back on. Cabonga wants the big man to come and give him a little bit of a block so that he can actually try and get through the traffic. Comes out wide. That's a great shot. That was well needed. Evans Ganapamo.
Second connection from long range for Ganapamo. It looks like he's starting to find his touch from beyond the arc.
I thought it was an echo of how I said that, but in fact it was the stadium announcer who said it in the same way. Crazy stuff, isn't it? It might be me just going a little bit mad, I don't know. In any chance, you can see that that's good work as well. Once again, Petro de Luanda getting the points and just keeping themselves a little bit ahead. That's a good... I thought that was a good pass until I realised it went over the head of that man, Cabonga.
Ganapamo gets across the halfway line. He gets trapped, and that's the pass inside. Then Apollo finishing with no real pressure. That's just a beautiful pass and a feed from Moreira, seeing the backdoor cut.
They work so well together. And oh, that's sumptuous, isn't it? Lay it up and just pop it in. You know, that's teamwork. That's the kind of teamwork that the Cape Town need to show as well.
Correa got really high on that one.
Yeah, he's going to pick up for the foul there, I think, Paolo. Just knocking Cabonga off. But look how important he is, Cabonga. He's a player you want to keep on for all four quarters.
He is the primary ball distributor. He's seen this kind of pressure throughout his career, and there's nothing here that will faze him. Vastly experienced, Mike Cabonga. This beautiful play, Cipriano, and just dropped in so softly by Correa.
Just soft, silky fingers, don't you reckon, Asher? That's just beautiful. Very well manicured fingers, don't
it's
you think?
It's because basketball is an art.
Quotable quotes brought to you by Asher Kamugisha.
Bring it on.
Take that to the internet, please.
Cabonga. Now, support. Really need to. This is very aggressive from Petro de Luanda, and they will lose the ball. That's excellent battle back to get hold of the ball. Get a panel, and the ball comes out. There's a good chance. It doesn't drop. No, Reed getting himself the chance to pick up the rebound. Battling valiantly, as I said before, but finally it's Petro who pick up possession. Out wide it comes, and it's Dundau. And the big shot from out wide from Joachim, unable to drain that.
Well, Cape Town have been
very good offensively on the crashing the boards. They're keeping their possessions alive with the ability to pick up second chance opportunities.
Have to score those points, those big points. It's a, look at Kabongo, he's fighting for everything. That is just sterling stuff. He's an example for absolutely everybody. Originally from the DRC, of course, and represents the DRC, but moved to Canada with his family at a young age, I believe.
Yeah, the played in the NBA G League, is one of the players that has G League experience, was a five-star recruit out of high school, and Mike Kabongo is playing up to his top billing right now. 2 points, two steals, four assists so far, and that's when they say sometimes the stat sheet can lie, because he's doing so much to keep this Cape Town team in it. A foul call.
So much depth on the bench, isn't there, for Petro de Luanda. They can mix their team up. They can mix their tactics up. They can go outside. They can go inside. They can get the bigs who come in and do that. Oh, that was very close, wasn't it? And rather little tip in. That's fantastic. And that's what Johnny Pedro does. He'll find that his work in the paint is second to none.
And Vander blows the dunk, but having Johnny Pedro there to clean up is invaluable.
Nearly a big score from Kabongo again. Look at their fighting. That is really good. Beautiful stuff. The fighting at the other end now is replicating what we're seeing from the boys in yellow.
There is no backing down as far as the Tigers are concerned. They're staying in it. They're trying to fight for each possession.
You know what's the people watching in South Africa. Look at that, the alley-oop, and that has been drained in a big way. Johnny Pedro is the man of the moment. That's two big scores from the big man.
They're finding the seams right now. Pedro de Luanda throwing it up, and the bigs are happy to flush the basketball down.
Oh, Ben Myberg's the man. Well, as cool as an iceberg, in she goes. That's a beautiful score.
He is a straight-up shooter from the perimeter, Ben Myberg. You can't leave him open.
Gonçalves there to Dundao. Dundao, they pinch the ball once again. The battle there between that man, Mike Kabongo, and just seeing Jason Gonçalves hit the deck. It's, you know, there's just some wonderful battles taking place. 10-point lead, Cape Town, trailing by 10. It's Cape Town 28, Petro de Luanda 38. Little break, we will be back.
I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington. You're listening to special Voice of America coverage of Basketball Africa League 2022, Africa's premier men's basketball league. Right now we have just over 4 minutes left in the second quarter, and Petro de Luanda leads by 10 points, 38-28, over the Cape Town Tigers from South Africa. And Prince Nesta joining me now. Prince, it seems like Petro's experience starting to come to the fore.
Man, quite artistic, honestly. If you're watching the game, it just, you know, sounds like poetry. I mean, these guys, you know, they've played well. They've played for a long time together. They're a highly ranked team, have been African champions before, and it's showing in the court. Great team chemistry, great communication. I mean, their defense is highly efficient, and, you know, they're just so great to watch. And I think basically the Cape Town Tigers should avoid those turnovers. Their defense crumbled at a certain time. And I think what's also hurting them the most is some of those three-point plays. They should increase the level or number of those three-point plays, because that's what's separating them actually from Petro's side.
And our friend, the belated birthday boy, Cipriani, hit a couple of big shots. So we got to give him his due, Prince. 40 years old and still delivering for Petro.
Absolutely. He's highly efficient, you know, and that tells you why he's been included in this squad, because he has something to offer. And for those so many years that he's played, he has that experience that he's bringing onto this team and stabilizing it.
Let's go back to the action now in Cairo. Once again, Petro leading by 10 points, 38-28.
Let's go and hear from Usher. Did you pick up on anything from that little team talk?
Yes, the emphasis for Jose Neto was on defense to make sure that they do a good job. And just to, interestingly, note that so far, Petro de Luanda have used 12 players in the first two quarters of this game. That's how deep their rotation is.
Yeah, it's a deep bench, isn't it? We know that. And Darrow getting the ball out. Oh, a little bit of butterfingers there as the ball goes out and they pick possession. 10-point lead to Zanetto. There he is, so active on the side of the court. Very vocal, very instructive, isn't he, Q? Is that a good thing or a bad thing as a former player like yourself?
Coaches have always got to be instructive, and some of it is done before the game actually happens. Petro de Luanda, that was their seventh turnover on that one, but they keep possession alive on the missed shot.
There is Chile Dundao. Pedro just going, charging through, but it's Kabongo again now. They've got loads of numbers here. What can he do? Oh, he's just unable to do anything there. Oh, it's a brilliant block. The ball comes out to Prinsloo. How wide? Shot clock down to 8 seconds now. It's just opened up a little bit. Kabongo again, another chance to redeem himself. Unable to sink those 3 points. And there is a foul, and the foul has been committed by that man, Johnny Pedro, I believe.
Can't fault Donopamo for
the foul is actually on Prinsloo, and it's
and that'll be
Prinsloo, that's right, yeah, Prinsloo on Johnny Pedro. That was the tussle that was taking place.
I was about to say you can't fault Donopamo for the shot creation and getting Kabongo open, but he's still just struggling from the perimeter at the moment.
And another foul, I think this time it's Ben Myberg. And let's have a look at the team foul count. It's four so far, 2:58 left the first half. And we got Thierry Darlan who's come on, who's the 18-year-old, I believe, Q.
I'll first look at the Elevate player for the Petro de Luanda squad.
Central African Republic. There he is again. He's a menace, but he can't drain those the rebound there. All right, good work from Ganapamo. Ganapamo drops it in. That is beautiful. Floats it up, and it's just the soft touch once again. Great score.
Somehow managed to keep that ball on a string and got behind the back for that lovely floater with the right hand.
Well, the big man gets the ball out wide, and it's his Darlan with his first chance to try and get some points. And he goes darting into the paint.
Kabongo, I think, was called for that one. And the infringement will see Darlan go to the free throw line. I think he called for a leg out from what I could see from the referee signal.
Now, the concerning thing is that's foul number three for Kabongo. And we got 2:21 left before the end of the half. A key player that we'll obviously need. And there, you can see it there.
Two starters from the Cape Town Tigers with three fouls.
And let's just celebrate the fact that Thierry Darlan, the 18-year-old NBA Elevate player, has scored his first points now as a youngster in this massive platform, which is the Basketball Africa League. Congratulations to him.
It's a great cause for celebration. We love to see the young individuals, young future stars making an impact, and even if it's just from the free throw line.
And obviously trying to do exactly what his countrymate is doing on the other end, Evans Ganapamo, both from the Central African Republic, a country that is trying to rebuild and return to their former glory when they were powerhouse on the continent.
Thank you for that, Asha. 30 points to 39. And here we have this man, Ganapamo, trying to drop in. It's an important point. They need to try and keep Petro close to them. You know, they were so unlucky. Petro de Luanda went all the way to the semi-finals in the first season of the BAL before just missing out on a couple of points to U.S. Monastir, I believe. Yeah, it was U.S. Monastir, and who lost in the final eventually against Zamalek. But they came so close, and it was really quite frustrating for them. But here they are going again, and coming up against Cape Town, who are throwing absolutely everything at them. They've got to try and keep Kabongo on the court, I think, Hugh. That's going to be important for them.
Well, this is going to be a very important passage here. Ghana Pamo at the free throw line. I think they will try and disperse the ball handling between Ghana Pamo, Myburgh, and Festile, who's back on the floor. But it's going to be a very interesting last 2 minutes of the second quarter.
Fascinating stuff, the way that we like it. Gonsalves, the ball comes out, is Dundao for 3 points, comes off the ring, and a good defensive rebound there, needed to get there first, and that's a good ball up to Myburgh. Myburgh tries to, that was a really complicated pass through the middle, but look at that, that is brilliant, valiant battling for the ball from that man, Mata Diop, who's the 21-year-old Senegalese player, come through the NBA Academy.
Well, just couldn't get it because there was a hand on it from the outstretched arm of the Petro de Luanda defense, and he goes to his foot. He scrambled for it, but committed the travel. So, a turnover, and it is Petro basketball, and we have a timeout.
Cape Town 31 and Petro de Luanda 39, 8 points. Still very much in this Cape Town, of course, without two of their players, which means that they've got to make decisions. They have to work to try and find the right formula and the right tactics to play against one of the strongest teams. You know, let's face facts in the eye of the Basketball Africa League. And at the moment, they are standing up, they're fronting up. They just can't allow Petro to get inside and really create problems and extend that margin. Defense is going to be key for them.
Defense, and you can see that the effort levels have matched the fact that they don't have two of their starters available for selection. You have to credit their work on the defensive and offensive glass. It's allowed them to control some of the tempo and the pace. They've competed on almost every defensive possession, and they've done well. You know, Petro de Luanda have shot the ball particularly well from the outside. They have spread the ball, shared the ball the way Petro knows how to do, but to their credit, the Cape Town Tigers have not relented. They've stayed in it and competed, and they are still here.
Yeah, and I think that we can most definitely say that, Petro de Luanda is so capable of just shattering the porcelain palace, you know, in terms of a defence. And I think that, you know, at any time they're capable of getting themselves in there and making themselves seen. And it's up to Cape Town to just hold forward and prevent that palace from getting shattered.
I can't think of a better analogy at all. And right now it's a chance for Cape Town to try and do their best. It's those 7 3-pointers from the outside that has been one of the primary differences here in this contest.
1:30 left in the half, and Chile Dundao around the outside. Good opportunity there. It's a big shot, but it's just come off the metal and go out of play. And they'll be fortunate enough to get possession as well, which is a good scenario for them because, well, just 8 points down, they know that if they get two or three from this, it's game on.
Game on.
Game on. Indeed, important possession. Cape Town got to try and get a score.
And sitting back a little bit, it's a little bit less stressful for them with the pressing. That is sensational. Just look what he does. He's got it all tonight. That man is on fire. Evans Ghana Pamo.
11 points for Ghana Pamo. It's that change of speed just coming off the dribble, gets by Moraes and then hangs in the air for the two.
And that's what you do all the time. Just a change of speed. You click into gear and you're off. Usher, please, you need to calm him down, you know? We need to find a garage for Q. Look
at that. He's on fire.
He's on fire. Fuego. That's a brilliant, brilliant drive through into the paint. Just look what he does. You've got individuals who are capable of just standing out from the crowd. That is a beautiful charge through and a great score from Moraes, who's been the man who's been dropping in from outside those big shots from downtown, out wide, from another planet, a different stratosphere.
The thing about Moraes is that he looks so calm. It's like nothing rattles him. He's stone-cold faced and just goes about his business, looking for pockets where he can pick up shots, and he's equally good attacking the rim.
So he's basically sort of, you know, he's like a pipe and slipper man, and all of a sudden he's got his spikes on and he's racing down to win the 100-meter, you know, sprint. I think that that's, you know, the way that we can actually understand this scenario. Maybe.
if you say so.
No, Rob. Please, I'm going off on one now. Let's get focused. And, yes, it's a good point there for Moraes. Picked up by the Toronto Raptors at one point before having that contract waived, and which was just just a move that could have gone through, that could have changed a few things in his path.
Yeah, but that being said, he's still done pretty well with his basketball career and definitely one of the most recognized players on the continent, Carlos Moraes.
It's a big, big dunk there. Look at that. Gonçalves showing us what he's capable of doing. Big scores and a big chance for a three-point set just to finish off the half. Doesn't happen. 33-44, it's an 11-point game. And that was massive, wasn't it? A massive statement there.
I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington. You're listening to special Voice of America coverage of Basketball Africa League 2022 right now in Cairo, Egypt. Petro de Luanda from Angola leads the Cape Town Tigers from South Africa by 11 points. The score at halftime, 44-33. And joining me once again for some halftime analysis is Prince Nesta. Sporty greetings once again, Prince.
Sporty greetings to you too, Sonny. Fantastic matchup this one, quite a titanic clash. And I give it up to both teams, honestly. I mean, it's just that aggressiveness has really proven to be the big difference, considering the fact that if you look at Petro, they have assassins in their team. I mean, most of these players, they're hitting big shots, you know, they're playing really entertaining basketball. And, you know, shout out going out to Carlos Moraes. I mean, he's an assassin, Sonny.
He is. In fact, he is the game's joint high scorer right now. Carlos Moraes with 11 points for Petro de Luanda. And that 11-point total is matched by Evans Ganapamo. Evans Ganapamo, an American player for the Cape Town Tigers. And right near the end of the first half, Prince, Ganapamo with a beautiful move to the basket. He just kind of glided in and laid the ball through. And it was one of the prettier baskets, I think, of the first half.
Absolutely. You know, he's one player that we need to watch out for. I mean, he's only 27 years old, small forward, and has some pretty significant good moves. He's played actually in France, has also played professionally. He was born in Mandeville, Louisiana, but has had professional experience playing in France. And so that's one of the things that, you know, is playing out as far as this particular match is concerned. Mika Bongo also started off pretty well, especially during the first half, and then was a little bit quiet for the most part of the, you know, half. But we'll wait and see how that goes, because he's one player to also watch out for. And if these two players can actually hit those threes and continue inspiring the team, then I think the rest of the folks will actually start scoring points. And this, I'm not going to say that, you know, it's just going to be a one-sided match. Cape Town Tigers has proved and has shown that, you know, they've got like some pretty good forwards down there. They have Prince Lou, fantastic height. You know, if they could use that to their advantage, then I think, you know, they could work out something and maybe, who knows, pull a win out of this one. But it's going to really be tough against this former African champions, a team that has had continental glory. And, you know, they're really playing some of their best basketball. I mean, they are one of those teams to watch out for in this tournament. And, you know, they're one of the favorites, actually, in both last year's BL tournament and this year's BL tournament, Sonny.
I think you're right, Prince. I think Petro de Luanda has to be considered one of the favorites for the title this year. And just a reminder for our Voice of America listeners, the league is basically set up in three phases. Last month, we had the Sahara Conference. Those games were played in Dakar, Senegal. We're currently seeing Nile Conference games in Cairo, Egypt. Six-team conference in both Dakar and Cairo. The top four teams in each conference advance to the Basketball Africa League playoffs at the end of May in Kigali, Rwanda. And so far, I agree with you, Prince. I think Petro clearly has to be, I think it's going to really take a lot for them not to be among the top four teams in Cairo. But just one point you made, Prince, about how, you know, they're getting contributions from a variety of players. Petro, I'm checking the box score now. 12 of the 13 Petro players have seen time on the court in the first half. So they're basically using the entire team, Prince. What depth. Lots of depth.
Yeah, I agree with you. And, you know, what makes great teams is having a productive bench. You know, can you imagine that one of my favorite players in last year's DL tournament, that's Yan Pedro, is coming off the bench and, you know, he's still scoring around 8 points. And they also have Domingos, who's also coming straight off the bench. And they really have a fantastic bench, honestly. And that's what making them really, really dangerous. And then at the same time, they have terrific shooters. You know, they move the ball at high pace. And, you know, they gauge the game. Sometimes they go slow. Sometimes they move so fast. But if the Cape Town, you know, side are actually to upset the Angolan champions, then their bench will definitely, desperately, of course, I need to step up and also contribute because they also need to protect their perimeter line because some of those players are coming in fresh, fast and furious. You know, that's triple F and, you know, it's really the triple F is really hurting them.
I like that. Triple F. and the other word I heard a lot in the first half was frenetic Prince. So maybe it should be quadruple F.
Oh, wow. There we go. For sure. And, you know, maybe if you add their finals, then pretty much if they use the four quadruple Fs, then they're going to get to the final, which is another fifth F.
Prince, I think it might be quiz time again. Kind of another little fun fact for our Voice of America listeners. On our pregame show, we had Abel Ensone. And he was talking with us from Nairobi, Kenya, which is kind of Prince's backyard, so to speak. And we had an engineer in here earlier on Sunday, and his name is my birthplace, Prince. Would you like to take a guess? I think I mentioned it on the air, but if not, I can remind you. The engineer shares the same name as my birthplace.
And so you also say that the engineer is from Kenya?
No, he's actually, the engineer's name is Charleston. Charleston.
Oh, South Carolina.
Yes.
That's right. Thank you for jiggling my memory.
So whenever I see the engineer Charleston in the studio, I always have to say, my birthplace.
You're one of those few people in this world who has, you know, names, you know, they're named after possibly, you know, they have people who have names after the birthplace, you know. So that's really, because my birthplace, goodness me, no one in this world, I believe, has a name from my birthday. You're so lucky, Sonny.
And on the subject of names, Prince, I know, I don't know if it's a common pattern in Nigeria, but I know I've met a few Nigerians who basically, if they're born on a certain day of the week, their first name becomes that, you know, becomes basically that day.
Absolutely, and that's I would say, you know, it's pretty much everywhere, especially in the African continent, because that's the same thing as Ghana, where, for instance, if you're born on Sunday, you are named Akwasi. If you're born on Monday, you're named Kojo. If you're born on Tuesday in Ghana, you're named Kwabena. If you're born on Wednesday, it's Kwaku. If you're born on Thursday, it's Yao. If you're born on Friday, it's Kofi. If you're born on Saturday, it's Kwame. And so, especially in Kenya, where I come from my tribe, if they look at the daytime. If you're born in the morning, that's Okinyi. If you're born in the afternoon, that's going to be Odhiambo. If you're born at night, you're going to be Otieno. And so, you know, depending on the seasons, daytime, which is a really beautiful concept.
I like that. I like that, you know, various times of the day.
Yes, yes, absolutely. But I don't know if you're born when your team is losing or, you know, your parents' team's losing, possibly. I don't think there's any parent who would give you a Cape Town Tiger name at this point.
Well, on the subject of names, Prince, in fact, I did ask the head coach of the Tigers, Relton Boysen, before the tournament whether that name, that nickname of the team, Tigers, had any significance. And he basically said, I think it was just a favorite name of Rafael Edwards, who is one of the co-owners of the team. And he's there in Cairo now helping out Coach Boysen. And I think he just liked that name of the Tigers.
Oh, wow. Tigers, yeah. Tigers are beautiful.
And there are tigers in South Africa.
Yep. Tigers are beautiful. And, you know, one of the greatest athletes for you, and this is going to be pretty easy, one of the greatest, you know, golf players of all time.
I did not get to check my Masters leaderboard today, Prince, but I know Tiger Woods was one of the great comeback stories playing at the Masters in Augusta, Georgia. And we certainly wish Tiger well. What an incredible story coming back to play after that horrific car crash last year. Amazing story.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, give it up for Tiger, one of the greatest of all time. And I've got a small quiz for you really quick. You know, it's a baseball team have won the World Series championships 1984, 68, 45, and 35. And, you know, they also have a Tiger name here in the United States. Which team am I talking about?
Well, I think you're talking about the Detroit Tigers.
there we go.
Detroit Tigers. And I'll throw this quiz right back to you, Prince.
Yes.
Detroit, one of the big cities in the great state of Michigan in the United States. And there is a current Voice of America on-air personality with kind of a musical bent who hails from the great state of Michigan. Would you care to take a guess at who that person is? Prince.
Well, I gotta say, I've been to Detroit, a beautiful town, but as far as anyone who comes from there is concerned, I only know of Eminem. But DOA, I'm not sure of any.
Well, it's Heather Maxwell. Heather Maxwell, the host, the host of Music Time in Africa, and which I have to say, if you're tuning in right now to the Voice of America, Music Time in Africa is the VOA's longest-running English-language program, which is something to be proud about, I would say, Prince. And Heather basically took that show over from the late, great Leo the Music Man Sarkisian, who founded it way back in 1965. I was just a little baby at that time, Prince.
Trust me, I was something else. I was not even into existence. Oh, my goodness. But that's really great because she's done really great as far as that program is concerned. You know, I worked under her for quite a short period of time when I worked at Voice of America as an intern. And it was really great. I mean, I enjoyed the music and stuff. But, you know, Sunny, she might not really come from Detroit, Michigan, per se. I thought she came from Flint, Michigan.
Yes, you are correct. You are correct. I guess I was referring to the state overall.
Oh,
but, yes, yeah. Heather hails from Flint, Michigan. That's her hometown. And so, Heather, if you're tuning in tonight, we salute you here on this special Voice of America program covering the Basketball Africa League. And yeah, Prince, overall, what I've seen through 2.5 games of the Nile Conference, I know we had, you know, kind of two relatively lopsided scores, but both games were competitive up to a point. And I'm talking about Zamalek winning on Saturday and FAP winning earlier on Sunday. But I think the skill level we've seen in Cairo has been impressive.
I totally agree with you. The skill level has been impressive, especially I think there has been two outstanding teams for me. Zamalek, who pretty much I'll give it up to them. They had kind of a scrappy game, but every team always has a scrappy game at some point. But, you know, they adjusted really well. They started off a little bit poorly when they faced off Cobra Sport all the way from South Sudan. And then, you know, they managed to pull a 17, you know, gap victory, which was fantastic. And then we're also seeing another team, you know, the Petro de Luanda, who are very, 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 very aggressive, at the same time well-organized, as I used to call them last year. Well-oiled machines.
Yes, I like that. Well-oiled.
Yeah.
Well, Prince, yeah. It does appear that the teams are getting ready to get back on the court. They are huddled up. Petro de Luanda is walking back on the court for the second half of action, and the Cape Town Tigers are coming out to meet them. Right now, Petro leads Cape Town 44-33. I'm Sonny Young. I'll be joined by Prince Nesta post-game, so keep it locked right here on the Voice of America. We're going to go back to the action in Cairo.
But just going back to that, their golden basketball culture is amazing. They've built a culture of winning. They are African basketball champions, and you have evidence of it when you see this team take on the floor. There's a proud basketball history, and South Africa's a growing and learning basketball culture.
So this is a celebration of African basketball in general, and it's exposed to the world. Enjoy. You just take note, because honestly, it's going, it's big, it's very big, you know, and everybody's invited to play their part, of course, as we see that man going up for 3 points. It just comes off the rim, and it comes to nothing. Kabonga gets the ball out. That is, just couldn't drain the points. Ben Weibach doing really well to finish off and get the rebound there.
Sibanyoni just blew the dunk, but Myberg there to help save the red faces and really secure the possession for the Tigers.
Traveling cool, and they get the ball back, which is big, very important. And we're going to go to Usher now, who's she picks up absolutely everything from everywhere. Where have you been, Usher? What have you been up to, and what have you heard?
I've been spying, trying to spend some time with some fans. And they have a message for you, but that's only if you speak Portuguese.
Oh, tudo bem, muito bom, obrigado.
Obrigado!
Okay, nice.
Well done, Robbie.
Okay, well, I didn't get the message, but it doesn't matter. It's okay, we're fine. Here's Prince Luke picking up the ball, and of course, Kabongo needs to be there to pick up the possession. Prince Luke getting a bit of a tap to the head. You can see that he's a little bit dazed. Shrugs it off, the captain, of course, and he goes to the free throw line.
We're getting tangled up with Garfu. And
we're not going to the free throw line.
No, just the foul being awarded, but just getting tangled up with Garfu. And you've got to watch that matchup. I think it's going to be a little bit of niggle between the two individuals.
Ben, Mike, here is Mike Kabongo. Kabongo, oh, he just has the ball taken out of his hands and is just checking on the call. I think it's Dindao who just got in the way of that, right?
Dindao's hands are lightning quick, and that's not the first time we've seen him poke the ball away on an attempted layup.
Prinsley, a little bit frustrated there, but that's the battle that we've expected between those two players, of course, Kabongo and Dundek. Little pivot, little turning, full-back jump shot there from Prince Lou, but he doesn't manage to nail it.
He created the space trying to fade away, and it was an okay shot attempt. I think just the three defenders on him, and that's the best he could come up with given the position that he was in.
Here is Chundao. Here's Moraes. Moraes drops it into the basket. It's been picked up and goes out wide. And that's a big long-range shot. And it's been taken here. That man, Ganapamo, is everywhere on this court tonight and playing such great basketball. That would have been a big score if he had nailed that. Look at the team players. Look at this. This is a family affair now. And I like the look of this. It's starting to look interesting. Despite the scoreline, it's only 9 points, but that can change now.
It can change in a heartbeat. And what they're doing is trying to take some ball handling responsibility off Mike Kabongo. That time it's Ganapamo who's shouldering the pressure and was able to make the read, penetrate, and he's going to try and take advantage of the 6-7 frame. He's a pretty good scorer, shooter, or creator off the dribble, and he can also get to the rim.
Ganapamo, free throw line. Smooth. Slick hands, 36.
leads all scorers with his 12 points. Kanapamo, 30% from the field so far.
And another fine, slick shot there from the free throw line. And that's a, it's a seven-point game. Turnover and a three-pointer, and you know, it all will back very close to each other once again. Moraes gets the ball out. Dundau, Kabongo, he lunges towards the ball. That interesting battle has taken place. Moraes goes out. He, I think it's, is it Myberg who made the foul?
Yes, they called it on double zero. It is Myberg. They call the body as he just gets by. Moraes just gets by him and leans in and then draws the contact for the foul and a chance to go to the free throw line now. It's the two leading scorers in the game for the respective teams. Carlos Moraes with 11. Kanapamo just connected from the other side. And Moraes is a pretty good free throw shooter.
Not on that occasion, kid.
Commentator.
Okay, it always happens.
It does always happen.
Jose Neto watches on.
In last year's competition, Moraes averaged 11.5 points, 3.8 rebounds, and 1.5 assists, but he didn't play that many minutes. I think we'll see an increase in his minutes as the tournament progresses.
Kim, you know what I like about you?
What do you like, Robbie?
You do your homework, which I'm just impressed by that. That's good. I like that. I like the style.
I appreciate it.
That's good. Peter Prinsloo. Here he is. Durango gets the ball out. There's a good chance for Myberg. Myberg going in for three. That is a big score. Look at the bench out of their seats. In a little eruption within the bigger picture, and it's very important that because it's a five-point game now.
The ability of the point guard to find the open shooter, and more importantly, the shooter's ability to knock down the open jump shot.
And all of a sudden, we've got a 36% field goals to 37. You know, there's a little bit less in it now. All they need to do is just get a couple of those big shots, you know, drained. As we see the replay, as the ball comes out, Myberg getting himself that big shot. It dropped in beautifully. The arc, the trigonometry, it was all perfecto.
And the no-look pass coming in from Mike Kabongo.
He's got everything, Mike Kabongo, he really has. A little battle here. And comes out, there's a chance to... He's in the right place at the right time, and we've got a change with this man, Lavisa Salipe, coming on, and a chance to try and get that. It's a good defensive work there. They're trying to get the ball out very quickly.
Maybe a touch ambitious by Kanapamo with three defenders again.
Moraes just slips the ball. It's the perfect pass, isn't it? Straight into the hands of Gakou, come charging in from the left.
Great pass and even better finish by Gakou.
There's a lot of opportunities to score. It's a long-range shot just coming off the rim. Good work. Look at him. Dundau, he's so quick. You just talked about the hands. Is everything, isn't it, about him? Ball comes out. Prinsley makes it safe as they try and push forward once again. Just slowing it down momentarily into the hands of Salipi. Kabongo on three fouls, of course. He needs to keep that like that going into the fourth quarter at least. That's a good shot. It's coming in and it's dropped. Beautifully done. That was important as well. We talked about Sibagnoni. He hasn't scored since the first quarter, I think.
Well, up to 9 points now, and Nati Sibagnoni. And that's just, again, Kabongo recognizing and finding shooters in their spots.
And Moreira to Moraes. There it is. He's a dream to have in his team, in anybody's team. Put him in your team, he's going to score.
You talk about shooters in their spots. Moraes gets to his, knocks down another long-range jumper.
Well, that was unfortunate. That was from Kanapamo going around the outside. Tries to do the business himself. He does everything, doesn't he? Can't nail it on that occasion, though. Moraes' head drops a little bit. Kabongo picks it up. It's fast and furious here. 5:50 left in the third quarter. He's on fire, that man tonight. What a skill set.
You know, when he puts his head on the swivel, he was looking at his options, and he looked at the defender in front of him and decided, I'm just going to straight up attack. And Gonsalves caught on his back foot, commits the foul, and gets the and-one opportunity.
Yeah, but he didn't just do that. He actually winked at you at the same time before he was in the layer. Brilliant stuff. We'll let him focus on his shot now, because I think he can probably hear us.
5 points.
We're so close to the players, you know. We've got a little bit of calm. In any case, Usher, what have you got for us? Where are you, and how's your spying going?
Well, I'm just here next to the Cape Town Tigers bench, and the message is very clear. Stick together, keep doing what you're doing, continue with that rhythm. And Mike Kabongo is doing exactly that, attacking the basket, trying to ask Petro de Luanda the questions.
And this is a problem. Aboubakar Gakou just swatting down Mike Kabongo as he went for that. Let's hope that he's okay. The great news is he's back up on his feet. He's an absolute tiger of a player, isn't he? And he steps back up. He's okay. The block, let's have a look at this again. Just coming in. Bit of contact on the... It wasn't... It looked like there was a little bit of contact in any case. Look, you can see the gesture there coming from your man, Boysen or Elton. Elton Boysen, sorry.
Maybe just trying to exaggerate the extra contact by Gakou after the actual block.
And here he is again, making a little bit of space. Gets the ball out. There's a chance, but the shot clock down to six. Got to get something going soon. Ganapamo. And here he is. Kabongo for three. And, it's just gone a little bit too high over the head of Prince Lou, picked up here by Petro. And Dow gets the ball out. Good opportunity, but the charging down the left-hand side, still with a chance to try and get himself this point. Look at that. Perseverance pays. My word. That is extraordinary from Moreira.
That is fantastic footwork by Moreira, and that's an experienced veteran move in the paint.
4:48, and it's going to go to the wire to a certain extent, because they're not allowing Petro to go ahead. There's Prinsloo. Oh, he's just a fallback attempt again, just missing his range. That man, Dindao, just picking the ball up, and Moraes is there to take over, of course. What's he going to do? Where's he going to go? He's going to go for a big shot. Past the down into the 10 seconds, it just rattles the rim, comes back out. Prinsloo successfully defending that.
Moraes forces the switch and the double, and the wide open jumper won't go down for Gakou.
Here is Kabongo making the call. Here he is, Mike Kabongo. Where's he going to go? Tries to go around. Look at his ability to just twist and turn. And he has drawn the foul as well.
Well, he's been looking for that foul call the entire time. And the one time that he doesn't attempt the layup is the time that he gets the contact call. And I think they call it on Moreira. Yes, he does pick up his first. And there's a timeout called on the floor.
Wow, very interesting. Look at this. This is nice to see as well. So Cape Town 45, Petro de Luanda 52, 7 points in it with 3:59 left for the end of the third. We'll take a break. Back in a moment.
I'm VOA Sonny Young. You're listening to special Voice of America coverage of the Basketball Africa League Season 2. Nile Conference games taking place in Cairo, Egypt. Right now, Petro de Luanda leads Cape Town Tigers 52-45. About 4 minutes left in the third period. Prince Nesta, can the Tigers go on the prowl and overtake Petro?
Anything can happen. My experience has taught me with this Pedro team, what they do is that they let you get close and comfortable, and then they change the game, pounce on you with some lethal injections. And that's what they've been doing here. You know, you realize that Cape Town was a little bit closer to them, and then all of a sudden, Jan Pedro started doing his stuff, you know, with some fantastic footworks. And yes, all of a sudden, Petro has actually increased that lead. So this one's really going to be tough, Sonny.
We'd like to give a quick shout-out, Prince, for one of the Tigers' shooting guards, Ben Myberg. He's hit some big shots. He has 10 points so far for the Tigers. Taking a quick look at the stats, one of the key players has been Moraes for Petro de Luanda, and also for the Tigers, the American Ganapamo. He's got 13 points for the Tigers. So they're within striking distance, Prince, as we head into the latter stages of this game.
Absolutely. Ganapamo and Kabongo should, start hitting those threes. They're playing so well so far. And the other team should also, the other players should also pull up their socks and come out and start hitting those shots, because they can't really depend on these two players.
Pull up your socks. Let's go back to Cairo for the action.
The debutants from South Africa.
And sitting with him, Roby, is Robert Pack, the coach of Reg, trying to scout possible opponents for the Rwandan team for the playoffs next month. I have another spy here.
I don't believe it. That's great, you know. I mean, honestly, we'll call you 002 soon or something like that. Good stuff, Asha. And, you know, he's obviously here, you know, because of the DRC team as well, but he's also part of the Basketball Africa League. An absolute legend. Great to have him. Robert back, of course, you know, first season with the BAL, so very exciting times for him. As we see, that man is just doing the business. Evans Garapano really getting a big score here, but look at the other end. They're quick to react, but on that occasion, they can't score the points.
Credit Sibanyoni on the defensive end there, just using his length, coming across to do enough to force the Moraes miss, but Garapano on the other end, he's locked in.
Very strong play, and you can see that Salipe getting the pass out, going around the outside, just dropping it in, using that wonderful height of his. But it's just a deft touch, isn't it?
A soft touch layup from Garapano on Kaku on the other end with his easy two.
He can actually play basketball inside of a porcelain palace and not break anything. There you go. I don't know why that came up, but it came up. We can see what's happening here. And, you know, it's good. It's good. The battle continues. The battle, the tussle, and the wonderful little rivalry between these two playmakers, Dundau and, of course, Mike Kabongo.
Well, if you want to test yourself and you want to know where you are in the basketball landscape, you have to pick out the best players. You know, they say pick out the biggest bully in the backyard, or pick out the biggest bully in the schoolyard and then go straight at him. And I think Dundau is picking up his battle, and this is what he's chosen. And he's taken it personally in terms of trying to come up against Mike Kabongo.
The Lebo Mofo King is about to come back on in a couple of moments as well. And as you see, Kabongo unable to score those 2 points. So it's 47-54 still. So quick to react. And they couldn't keep the ball in play. And the cameraman just and the photographer really getting driven into with a big coming in like a blockbuster.
Just almost a half a second late. And once again, it's just an outstretched hand from Sibanyoni that keeps the possession for Cape Town Tigers.
Livisa Salipi. Peter Prinsloo, the captain of the Cape Town Tigers team. There's Dundau getting caught up, and I think they're going to get possession back, aren't they? There it is.
Yeah, 8 seconds. Couldn't get it across the halfway line. And credit the defense there. Credit the good work by Gaku.
Yeah, Abubakar Gaku, the 24-year-old, already two Angolan Basketball League titles since joining just a couple of years ago.
And of course, that 2021 Angolan Basketball MVP award.
That is something very unique, isn't it? You can imagine there's a lot of competition there. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. He's just doing it. He's on fire. That guy is doing the business. He's up to 18 points. And we still got, another quarter to go. Of course, 2:30 left in the third.
The Garapano-Moraes matchup, something else that we just need to keep an eye on.
But here he is, Garapano. Boy, he's just, that might be an offensive. He's getting penalized for the charge there.
He's looking for isolation. And, you know, we heard Asha talk about the fact that the coaches want the ball distributed, but Garapano is calling for the screen and is trying to carry the offense almost by himself.
Quite understandable after Mike Kabongo was substituted. He's on the bench trying to support, but turns out he's coming back on. Is he listening to our commentary?
No, we've had enough of that. Bring him back on. You know, we need him. Yeah, no, that's it's one of those scenarios where you just realize how important the player is. You know, you can't afford to, and he's like fired up more than anybody, isn't he? And they can't allow that lead to go away. They've got a 10-point lead now.
That foul by Labisa Salepe on Justin Domingos on the cross-court pass. The closeout comes and just sold a little bit. Might have stepped into the space of the shooter. The ref was right there, made the call, and they got three from the free throw line.
Five team fouls for Petra Luanda. Four for Cape Town. First is good for Gerson Domingos.
He had limited use in the first edition of the Basketball Africa League. 14.4 minutes. He only averaged 3 points 1.3 rebounds and 1.2 assists in those 14 minutes when he was on the floor.
His strength has always been on defense, and unfortunately there's no calculator.
Calculator. See
for
you
defense.
Later, calculator.
47-58.
So Kabongo, he got a big rest there, didn't he? Went off for about 48 seconds, back on court, and raring to go, as you can see, full of energy. And that's a beautiful pass. If they can get points from this, well, he knows that he's committed the foul. You can see that. Lionel Paolo at fault.
And he smiles at Bafa Kakae, the Senegalese referee, to note that, yeah, I accept the call.
You've got to get on with it. And it's foul number four for Paolo, of course, which puts him in a predicament going into the fourth quarter.
Yeah, and that replay also just shows that three fouls for Paolo on that.
Sorry, three, not four. I didn't get my calculator, I'm afraid, Asher.
Well, it's letting the
Who's got that calculator?
On.
Where's the calculator?
We're looking for it. Maybe Q has it.
Maybe you can get me an abacus.
I'm going to go with your abacus idea.
I got a giant abacus just in, you know, in front of the...
Abacus,
the
so just basically the palm. Let's use the palm.
Yeah, there you go. Dropped in. It's an important point for Kabongo. But look, it's a 12-point lead. You can blink a couple of times and Petro just move ahead. And that's what they do. They're just steady and consistent. Good opportunity to drop in with a big shot coming in there from Paolo, but he doesn't drain.
That's another timely hand by Kabongo. Jone had the rebound, and then Jone Pedro plays some great defense.
He just watched him. He just stalked him, didn't he, Kabongo? That was brilliant defense. And how about that for a big shot coming in? And it's, once again, Domingos down that right side with a beautiful 3 points. And the triple goes in. Prinsloo for three. And this time it comes off the metal. Tidied up at the back. Here they go forward once again. Petro just keeping calm, waiting. And this time you can see Domingos unable to drain that.
That they're going to grind out possessions. It's danger time here for the Cape Town Tigers. They have to stay locked in and play possession by possession.
And the shot clock going back, which is perfect for them. That's a great shot. Look at that. You always knew that the arm mechanics were always going to see that shot land. It's Cipriano just providing us with something beautiful.
That was probably the worst defensive possession of the game for the Cape Town Tigers, for second and third chance opportunities and wide open shots for the Petro de Luanda players.
They've been rattled, and now they've got to get back on track. Cape Town just losing sight of Petro de Luanda. They need to get back into this game. They need to turn each possession into points. Prinsloo out wide, good chance. Here he is once again. Garopamo coming off the metal. Good opportunity for a rebound, but it's been pinched this time. Gaston Domingos, and that is the end of the third quarter. And look at that scoreline. It's big now. They got some work to do.
I'm VOA Sonny Young. You're listening to special Voice of America coverage of Basketball Africa League 2022, Africa's premier men's basketball league. Right now, after three quarters of play, Petro de Luanda from Angola leads the Cape Town Tigers 65-48. Petro de Luanda in control. I'm joined once again by Prince Nesta. And Prince, I have to give another shout out for Cipriano. He hit a beautiful three-pointer right at the end of the third quarter. And oldest player on the court at 40 years of age, one of Africa's great players, and he's still delivering.
I agree with you, Sonny. He's only been on the court for 11 minutes, and, you know, he has delivered 9 points, 7 rebounds, and 3 assists And, you know, his index is actually right now at 15. You know, apart from a couple of players who might be leading him, I mean, Olympia Cipriano just goes on to show you what experience can bring to the team and how talented he is. And he's orchestrating the win on behalf of the Petro Luanda team. He stabilizes the team, and they really enjoy, you know, when they play with him because he's an inspirational player for sure.
And it's kind of like what you said, Prince, earlier, how, you know, they let the Tigers sort of get within striking distance. I think they got as close as 7 points or so. And then they hit a couple three-pointers. And just like that, the lead is double digits once again. Petro de Luanda really showing its quality in Cairo.
Absolutely, continental giants. And, you know, also on the other side, I would say Cape Town Tigers, just my advice, and I always say this, they should really should show us if they could recover quickly from adversity, because what happens is that average teams always shrink when things go bad, and that's not happening in this particular game. You know, Petro is just too good for them, and they're giving up. They should not surrender this match at all. This is basketball. Anything could happen at any moment.
Right now, taking a quick look at the field goal percentages, 38% for Luanda, 33% field goal shooting for the Cape Town Tigers. Not a big gap, but assists. How well are they distributing that basketball? Petro de Luanda with 19 assists, and the Tigers have 11. And it's, you know, we're going to go back to the action now, Prince, in Cairo. So let's check it out.
Murray's the man of the moment. He's got 18 points so far, so he's standing out. He's the only player in this Petro team in double figures, of course. Two players with Myberg and Galopamo, the players who got 10 and 15 points respectively. And Murray's once again on the outside of the arc, waiting patiently until he will go. He'll go for it, or he'll make the pass. Comes out wide. It's not a good pass into the hands of Prinsloo. Here they go, and here he is. Great defensive play. You know, the way that he just got back in time and just marshaled him. Olympio Cipriano at 39, playing like a teenager.
That is a great observation, because what Cipriano did do was find Galopamo unaware and put a hand out, a timely hand, to just delay the transition opportunity on the offensive end.
And Usher, I think, you know, when you actually look at Thierry Darlan, who's the Central African Republic 18-year-old NBA Academy player, when he was born, Olympio Cipriano was 21.
That just speaks to Cipriano's longevity, and it's what makes him special in this team. And obviously, with Lionel Paulo bringing that experience to the BAL.
Brilliant, it really is. Thank you, Usher. And here he is, Moraes. He's dropping them in, You know, he's got his eyes closed. I don't think he opened his eyes when he was shooting, because he knew exactly where the bucket was.
It's called muscle memory.
4 3-pointer for Olympio Cipriano.
With Galopamo. Galopamo! That is a major statement from the big man. He had to come through, but just look at that. He wades through the traffic, the quagmire, call it what you like, and it's slammed in. Beautiful score.
It looked like he jumped off a trampoline. He got up that high. Galopamo on the baseline.
And then all of a sudden you see points scored up at the other end, because you just know that whatever you can do, it's the same scenario. Petro can try and do better, and that's another attempt at 3 points, or 2 points, mid-range shot really from down the left-hand side from that man, Galopamo, unable to drain it. All round the back pass doesn't fall well. It's Ben Myberg who picks it up, gets it back out, and there he is once again. Needs to be a little bit careful. What options does he have? Prinsloo through the trap, gets the ball out. There's a chance for Myberg to try and get the shot in. Prinsloo hits the deck and is taken up there once again. Dominguez, long range shot. Oh, wow. Big shot coming in. And Cipriano defends one end and then produces something that comes completely from the sky at the other end. Brilliant stuff from the veteran player.
And I know there was some talk about the value of the veterans on Petro. They're giving you a real reason, and they're showcasing why they are such great players. Cipriano, Moraes chipping in here and showcasing their skill from beyond the arc.
And now you can see that, the scoreline there, 12 points for Cipriano. He's the second player, to get himself into double figures with Moraes, the other player. And you can see that Oh, this is just brilliant, isn't it? Excellent score there from Ganapamo. Just providing us with the fireworks big time.
Looks like he jumped off a trampoline in that one-handed tomahawk jab. Lead up to 23 now for Petrov.
I'm glad you brought your abacus. Here we go. This is Ganapamo. How wide? He spent so much time on court. But, you know, I can sense that he's not as sharp as he was. Oh, that's a brilliant score, isn't it? Such a big score as well from Lebesa Salepi. I don't believe it. That's a... Well, that, I think that was a... There's a foul that's been committed there. You can just see that the block went in, but there was contact with the hands. Big, big attempt as a dunk there from Pedro.
Pedro trying to put Sibagnoni on a poster. Sibagnoni said access denied. The pass comes, he's behind the play, and does just enough to force the misdunk.
Chance for Johnny Pedro to add to his 4 points. Low scoring game for Pedro. We expect a little bit more from him. We've seen him play some amazing games. He had great performances last year, you know, and he's a little bit off the radar at the moment. 5 points, but then again, the 11 rebounds, what he makes up for it, right?
Yeah, I was about to get into that. He's a double-double man. You know, he'll accumulate his points in and around the rim, and it depends on the style of basketball being played on the floor.
Pedro and Carlos Moraes has been outstanding tonight. There's a good opportunity as that man Paolo trying to drop a big shot in, but of course there's someone to back up. It's a rebound man, isn't it?
You spoke about him being inactive or having a quiet game, and I think he heard the cries once again.
Oh, that's beautiful. Look what he does. Dundao with a layup. He's going to score that every time. Electric, fast. And that's a big score, 78. And, yeah, they are well and truly ahead now of the Cape Town Tigers.
Shilde Dundao, just reminding us of Jean-Jacques Wilson and Charles Xavier Senemukiza, with that still there.
Thanks, Sasha. We'll take a small break. We'll catch up with you just afterwards. 52-78, Cape Town trailing Petro and Luanda.
I'm VOA Sonny Young. You're listening to special Voice of America coverage of the Basketball Africa League 2022 Nile Conference Games taking place in Cairo, Egypt. Right now, Petro de Luanda in firm control. They're trouncing the Cape Town Tigers from South Africa by 26 points. No, excuse me. They're up 78-52. So 26-point lead for Petro de Luanda. They do appear headed towards an easy victory. Prince Nesta, maybe some brief comments about Petro's dominating performance.
I totally agree with you that Petro pretty much headed for victory in this particular fixture. But I also kept on wondering what could be missing from this Cape Town Tigers team. I think pretty much, I would say it's Ganapamo versus Petro team. But at the same time, you know, Petro, South Africans are actually missing Billy Preston, who could have added a lot of stuff as far as this game is concerned. He's a power forward who could have made a difference, but you said he's out due to COVID protocols.
Well, Prince and I will be back post-game for some final comments, but for now, let's go back to the action in Cairo.
In Cairo. And if you're watching this, wherever you are in the world, and we hope that you all are, because you should be, this is fascinating. Big battles taking place here in the Basketball Africa League. I'm with Kiwa, I'm with Usher, and, you know, honestly, the tussle, the hustle and the rustle of activity is big time here as Prinsloo just makes that big block there. And, Well, I think that that might be a ball they get possession back, of course. Great stuff there, though, Q.
Yeah, another turnover, 20th turnover for the Cape Town Tigers, and 24 points have come from those turnovers that they've committed.
And they get hold of possession here as they take the ball up court. It's Salepi out wide. This man here, Ganapavo, he's just, well, ever-present. And a shot just coming off the metal there. 6:16 left on the clock. And Usher, finally, you get your voice now because we cut you earlier. Usher, what's happening? Where are you? Who are you spying on now?
Well, I was just trying to remember Shilde and Jean-Jacques Wilson playing at the 2016 FIBA Under-18 African Championship in Kigali, and just seeing them grow into mature players, playing at the big stage at the Basketball Africa League. It's just, you know, a good story. And it just goes to show what could happen for the NBA Africa Academy players.
Yeah, and that could happen to you. And I'm saying you as in, you know, anybody who's watching, if you're young and you're interested in basketball, reach out, get involved in clubs. Wherever you are in Africa or around the world. But of course in Africa we know that there's so much going on. Q, you can talk to us about that, because you know that in South Africa, Basketball Without Borders was one of the first projects that was implemented in your country.
Yeah, Basketball Without Borders was hosted in South Africa, but I think the primary reason for that was the partnership with the Royal Bafokeng in the Northwest, and that's where one of the premier development projects in the African continent happens now. And you can do a little bit more reading up on Royal Bafokeng and NBA partnership. There's a lot to say about it, but it's a fertile breeding ground for basketball talent, especially in South Africa.
Good opportunity here for Myburg to try and drop in, or it's just come off. They pick the ball back up. This is good play. Ganapamo in the right place at the right time. Kabongo with a shot that just comes off the metal. And that was, it just went out of play, so they'll get possession there. And it really is important for you guys to go onto the BAL website, because that's where you'll pick up lots of information about this and understand a little bit more about the Basketball Africa League and how it reaches out to the world, not just Africa, to understand, you know, how you can get involved and stuff. There's so much on it. You can follow the games and listen to us as well if you want.
The BAL.com is a great resource. It has everything you need to know about the league.
Wow, the tussle. Look at that. There's a battle there. And they get possession. Kabongo putting a lot of pressure on that man, Shilde Dundau. You mentioned it, Usher, 23 years of age, great, great future ahead of him. He is just lightning fast, isn't he?
He is a terror on the defensive end, and I love the fact that Usher brought up the comparison with Jean-Jacques and Chibozwa, because they are both really difficult guards to get by on the floor and masters of the art of theft of the basketball.
Oh, that's a good score as well. And, you know, got to give him total credit. Kabongo has been working his socks off, if I can say that. He's now got, 9 points, I think, but he needs to, you know, he's been everywhere. That's a really good pass. Look at that. Beautifully done. Yeah, I think there's some tired legs out there a little bit now, of course, as well. It's been a very, very fast and furious encounter.
They have got to remember that points difference can come into it, especially after the head-to-head battles are taken into account. So important for the Tigers and for Pedro de la Wanda to continue to play until the final whistle is blown.
Liam Reed, the player who was hoping to try and get some points on the scoreboard there, but it's the lead's just walking away a little bit too far, and it is a bit complicated for this Cape Town Tigers team.
It's been a spirited performance by them, but it's the ability of this experienced Petro team to take advantage of all the mistakes that happen on the floor, and the primary one is being able to turn turnovers into points.
You know, I think that it's really important that we understand that it's very complicated, you know, for teams to get the lay of the land in their opening encounter as well, and they find better form as they go into the competition. So I think we'll see a lot of that from, you know, from those teams who didn't manage to get the right results, and we'll see improved performances from those teams who maybe we expected a little bit more from.
It's always been a feature. The first game is the one where the nerves and the jitters are evident, and as long as the team just gives 100% of the effort, the coaching staff gets to look at some of the rotations that may or may not work, and you'll see those adjustments get put into place, and that's why the second games are generally better.
Yeah, Cobra Sport. We spoke to the staff and, of course, the general manager just after their loss against Zamalek in the opening clash last night. We understood that, you know, they could look. They weren't beaten. They weren't down. They were just going, we need to understand and just break it down, analyze, and rearrange and amend what we didn't manage to do. Myberg gets the ball down. He's going up again. Ganapamo gets the ball back out to Gabongo. Gabongo's got Myberg. Ball comes out wide. Here he is. And Ganapamo in for a big shot. That comes back out. And Prince Lu left frustrated.
I think that's going to be Prince Lu's fourth. Battling for the boards. But pushes off just before he gets the chance to pick up the rebound right into the back of Johnny Pedro. And the foul gets given.
6 points, four fouls. He'll stay on court, of course, because he's needed now. Johnny Pedro gets the ball back out. It's a chance for them to try and do a mid-range jumper. Big battle taking place. That goes over the top. That is sensationally done. The reverse. Oh, lovely play from Britslow to follow up after some great work from Ben Myberg.
Myberg twisted and turned, almost got the touch, but Prinsloo stuck with the play. Credit him for not giving up on that one.
The under and over. Petro out wide, 56-83. Second chance points. Look at that, second chance points, 22-5. 22-5, the second chance point. Just gives you an idea of sort of, you know, what they've managed to do, Petro, and what Cape Town haven't managed to do.
And that and points from turnovers combined give you the picture in terms of the gap that we see here.
The scoring landscape.
The scoring landscape.
And you know, you talked about spirited performance. There it is, back up to just over the head. Nicely done, nearly done, but a lovely little tip in there from Prinsloo.
It's such great hustle from Prinsloo to stay with that. Myberg could easily have finished on that up and under, but Prinsloo taps it in and he gets 8 to his name.
That's a very big score. That is double figures there for Kabongo. Needed a three-pointer. Nails it. It was perfect. 59-83.
Looking better and better for Mike Kabongo. You can see he's getting into his shooting rhythm, and that might be a good sign for this Cape Town Tigers outfit into the next couple of games.
That's Johnny Pedro's. That's the dirty work that he likes to produce in the paint, and he does draw the foul. Getting into a bit of a battle, a bit of a slog fight there in the paint. 1:36 left on the clock.
It's the way it's supposed to be inside the paint. Physical.
You know,
a battle for the boards, and there's no love lost at all once it's a 50-50 ball.
Yeah, I think that might have been Sibanioni. Is it? No, it's Prince Louis. Fouled out, in fact. There he is. It's okay. You know, he can stand up and say, look, I put in a massive effort tonight. Okay, we're not on the winning end, but it doesn't matter. You know, you've still got more games to play. You've got five more games to play.
It's only the beginning. 8 points, six rebounds for Peter Prinsloo, and that's going to be his contribution for the Tigers this evening.
I think my abacus, four more games to play. Crikey, I can't believe that.
We've got to get that abacus.
No. It's because it's so early in the evening. It's so early in the morning.
It plays effect.
Morning, evening, whatever. Johnny Pedro. There he is. 7 points so far. 14 rebounds. Looking to make it 50% from the free throw line, and he does it perfectly there. Look at Myberg just waiting down in the corner and trying to stay away from Childe Dundau. Mr. Lightning Feet himself, lightning hands, lightning everything. He could cause an electric storm on court, can't he? That is brilliant from Johnny Pedro. Look at that block.
Oh, outrageous. Fantastic defense. Pedro is aggressive on both ends of the floor. Exquisite timing, waited for Ganapamo to release the ball and then sent it back. Return to sender.
As Elvis Presley once said, right? There you go, Q.
I know there are plenty of people that we can attribute that quote to.
Okay. Wow. A wild pass.
But we're approaching the last minute, and as you can see, 59-84, 25-point lead here for Pedro Luanda. Good operation for Jose Neto. Worked his magic. You know, he's a good coach. He understands his players. He knows these players. Cabongo going up and trying to get himself that layup. Really good work on the rebound. Comes back out of Ganapamo. And how wide is the three-pointing, a three-pointer effort. And Johnny Pedro. Good battling. Very good battling. Oh, Reed goes up. And that's beautifully down there from Liam Reed.
Well, eventually they get the result that they were looking for. If it wasn't Sibanyoni, Reed announces himself, gets himself a nice dunk, credit him, two boost. More points.
And that'll boost his confidence a little bit, which is really good. There's a three-point attempt. That's big. That's a big shot coming in. And Anderson Correa doing the business there. And stop the clock at 28.9 seconds.
Cape Town Tigers called the timeout. And you have to credit Sibanyoni again. Makes the pass. Almost gets it back. Reed is there. Skies uses all of that 6'9", 6'10 frame.
Yeah, and the moment that he actually comes up and delivers that fine dunk is the, you know, right at the end of the clash. He hasn't had too much time on court, so, you know, he wants to make a statement, give him confidence going into the next encounter. That's all that matters.
There's nothing more valuable to a player than to get the first 2 points in any competition. And it also just helps you relax a little bit. So for Reed, who may or may not see more court time, and I'm sure he will find his way into the rotation, but it's great. And I can tell you firsthand, once you get that first two, you just don't know where it can go to.
Just don't know where it's going to go. And that's exactly what it is. And, you know, it might not be a favorable scoreline when you actually look at it. It doesn't matter. Cape Town will hit back. You can see that they've got players, they've got leaders, they've got players capable of creating something and working together. They've got to just gel together and understand and break down, do their homework on their opponents and get back in and hopefully get their players back that they're missing as well.
With all of that, they've got four players in double figures. Myberg, 10, Ganapamo, 17, Babongo has 10 points, and so does Nati Sibanyoni. Prince Louis just missing out before he fouled out.
28.9 seconds left for the end of this opening encounter for these two teams from South Africa and Angola. There's a foul that's been committed there by Anderson Correa on Ben Myberg.
13 fouls. Pedro de Luanda. First one on Correa.
Look at Neto, he's still, Coach Neto is still making the call, still vehemently making his decisions from the side of the court. Here's Reed trying to go up. The defense is good, it's been picked up just out wide, and a chance for them with Diop's come in. The Reed get hold of possession, charging up court once again with Anderson Correa. Just calming things down, and this is the final shot. And what a shot it is from Tilde Dundau. A brilliant score there. And that's the end of this encounter. Look at that scoreline. It's a big win for Pedro de Luanda over Cape Town Tigers. And an ideal scenario.
I'm VOA Sonny Young. You're listening to Special Voice of America coverage of Basketball Africa League 2022. We're coming to you from Studio 3 at our VOA headquarters in Washington, D.C. Final score from Cairo, Egypt. Pedro de Luanda of Angola, 90. The Cape Town Tigers from South Africa, 61. Dominating 29-point victory by Pedro de Luanda, one of the proudest basketball clubs on the continent of Africa. I'm joined for some post-game analysis by the hoops-loving Prince Nesta. Prince, you called it. The experience of Pedro, I think, really won out this evening.
Absolutely. And, you know, so far my bets have been correct. You know, in the first game, the second game, Pedro, goodness me, I give them lots of credit because offensively they were lethal. You know, they came out guns blazing, they had a plan, and they executed it perfectly. Defensively, that was really great of them. They also took advantage of the turnovers, lots of turnovers, which, you you know, messed up the South African team, Cape Town Tigers. But, you know, all in all, I would rather say this is the first game. Nothing to be worried about if you're a Cape Town, you know, Tiger fan. They gave it their best. You know, inexperience costed them the game a little bit. But then, again, we have to say that they had at least four players who had that were in double digits, you know, as far as score is concerned. That's Maybug, you know, Ganapamo, Sibenyoni, and Kabongo. And that's a really great thing because it shows you that this is a team, you know, that depends on lots of players, apart from just a couple of teams which I've seen depends on individuals. And, you know, if the other player who missed the match, Billy Preston, is going to come back onto this one, this team is going to be complete and very dangerous, Sonny.
Taking a look at the stats, Carlos Moraes, the veteran guard for Petro de Luanda, 36 years old. He had team high 23 points for Petro. And I think that makes him the game's high scorer. Evans Ganapano, the American for Cape Town Tigers, he had 17 points, made some nice shots. But Prince, yeah, it just seemed like any time the Tigers would make a run, Petro would answer.
I agree with you, and that you have to give it up to their coach. You know, we really haven't given lots of credit to, but, you know, their coach, Gilselves de Santos Neto, who is a Brazilian professional basketball coach and, you know, has had plenty of experience at, you know, coaching Brazil. He's been an assistant coach in the Brazilian national team from the year 2005 as an assistant coach, still present. Of course, has coached Brazilian under-18 team, under-16 team, under-19 team.
Prince, we're going to go for a post-game interview with one of the Petro players.
Big accomplishment. We set this goal to win the first game. We did a pretty great job. We're happy. On to the next one.
12 of the 13 players for Petro de Luanda played today. How important is it for you to have depth in this tournament?
Well, we always told everybody we have a deep bench, and everybody on our team is ready to play. And today we're showing just that. Everybody was ready, everybody contributed, and that's the way we want to play in the future.
Congratulations. Parabesh, Carlos. Back to you, Robbie.
Thanks very much, Usher. And congratulations.
Carlos Moraes, the Petro player with 23 points this evening, and sounded quite calm, Prince. I don't think he got too winded out there.
Hey, one of the most lethal shooting guards I've ever seen myself. He plays so cool, calm, and collected, triple C. And, you know, one of my best players, honestly. He's had plenty of experience, you know, playing, you know, in the Portuguese league. He's played for Benfica, which is one of the terrific teams in Portugal. Of course, right now he's busy representing a team from Angola, you know, his native country. And, you know, he's been a champion before. He was MVP, actually, African Basketball League, that's in 2012, has won, you know, the league, Angolan league, like, you know, seven times. And, you know, he's also been an All-African Basketball League best guard in 2011, that is. And so he brings in plenty of experience, and that was really crucial. And we could see it. I mean, the whole team depended on him in terms of, you know, game strategy and executing some of those plans.
Prince, Monday is a rest day in Cairo. No game scheduled. The action will resume on Tuesday, April 12th, with two games. And why don't we take a quick look at those, Prince? Petro will go up against debutante Cobra Sport, which lost its opening game to Zamalek, 80-63. And Zamalek will now play the Cape Town Tigers on Tuesday. So it's Petro versus Cobra, Cape Town versus Zamalek. How do you see those games, Prince?
Oh, that's going to be a bit tough. It's going to really be a bit tough since I'm looking at Cape Town. They are wounded, you know. They're
yes.
going to be coming on to that match.
Some wounded Tigers. That's a good way to put it, Prince.
Yes, very wounded. And, you know, I will expect a little bit better performance from them. And, you know, Zamalek also showed us in the first game that they could be a little bit vulnerable at some point. And so I'll wait and see how the rest of Mika Bongo and, you know, his colleagues are going to react on to this soon. But, you know, Petro, they're going to be back in the next match. Really, they're a dangerous team. I don't see Cobra Sport actually winning in that particular fixture for some reason.
Prince, we've now seen three games in the Nile Conference. Maybe name one or two players who have really stood out for you in terms of overall performance.
Well, I have to, you know, name a player who's already still fresh in my mind. I would say Carlos Ruiz has really been incredible as far as, you know, the game we just watched is concerned. I also have to give it up for Ike Diogo, who was really crucial, you know, in the Zamalek team that, you know, won the first game. At the same time, I also have to give it up to Ganapamo. I mean, yes, he was on the losing side, but goodness me, at some point it felt like, you know, he was playing, which was a one-man team, and he was handling the Petro team pretty well. So those three have really stood out to me. I could mention others, but for sure, I know time is not on our side.
And I'll throw one other name out there, the Defensive Player of the Year for 2021 ball season, Anas Mahmoud for Zamalek. He was also quite impressive in the opening win by Zamalek. Time is not on our side. I want to thank Prince Nesta for his analysis on Sunday, and Prince will be joining us again on Tuesday when the games resume. I also want to thank my producer this evening, Downtown Daniel Brown. And finally, last but certainly not least, a good friend of Prince Nesta, Patrick Deya. I believe Patrick also hails from Kenya, Prince.
Yeah. The good guy.
Patrick is waving to you from Studio 3, Prince.
Yeah.
That's all the time we have. I want to thank you for tuning in to our special Voice of America coverage of the Basketball Africa League. We'll be back with you on Tuesday. I'm VOA's Sonny Young saying, see you then, and nothing but net.